me this Mother's Day at View 202 on the veranda. Hi, this is Linda Bott. May 8th is Mother's Day, so bring your mom and the family for a special Mother's Day brunch overlooking the beautiful Sacramento River from 10 to 4. There will be special prices for seniors and children. Make a great Mother's Day memory this May 8th with jazz on the veranda with the Linda Bott Jazz Ensemble and a very special Mother's Day brunch menu. Call View 202 for reservations today at 226-8439.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Come on out May 14th to 15th for Haven Humane's Dogathon Festival. From 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th, start your weekend with free family and pet-friendly activities, canine demonstrations, splash dogs, fly ball, vendors, food, and our very own West Munster Family Dog Show. At 5 p.m., enjoy dinner and dancing at the Boots, Scootin' Doggies Barbecue and Concert featuring Chad Bushnell, all at Haven Humane Society just off 273. On Sunday, put on your tennies, leash up your dog, and come out to Turtle Bay for Haven Humane's 5K and 10K run walk. For barbecue tickets and race registration, go to havenhumane.org.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, today is May 1st. It's Lenin Day, Communist Day.
Yay.
They ought to be celebrating in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. I'm sure they are. My name is Mark Ken, and I am your host once again. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. It's Sunday, May 1st, 2016, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Red and Linda and Mark.
Mark.
There you go. Yeah.
That guy.
I used to be the host.
Did you know.
I knew I was forgetting somebody.
Yeah, 4 years in and he doesn't know my name.
That's okay, Bob. We've got your back covered.
Doesn't that mean it's working?
It must be working. And Red Smith, who's been on a blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descent into the unfunded pit of hell. Good morning, Red.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's about
another
like
beautiful
that.
Day in the neighborhood.
It seems like that just gets longer and longer as we go by. You know, we'll have to add something to that at some point, just because, you know, the unfunded pit of hell of Dante's Inferno or something. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's getting pretty weird out there. Oh, and the recovery continues as usual. The mainstream crap. I mean, if everybody doesn't know that, you know, we're in trouble. Excuse me. If everybody out there can't see we're in trouble, man, you need to pull your head off of the Frozen commercial or the Frozen movie. You know, get out of, you know, quit watching Elsa and Anna and you know,
all is well.
Fantasyland.
Unplug the TV.
Maybe Anyway, you're listening to KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com, and we are streaming worldwide. Go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. and no longer at South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship, where we're at the new building this Monday, I believe.
Pacelli, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no Vineyard Church.
It's now Reading Patriots slash we're going to form a new state group.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those guys. The guys that never seem to go away.
Yeah.
Because they want their freedom, those knuckleheads.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good motto. We never go away because we care.
This sounds like you're selling something like tuna fish or something.
Soap.
Charlie Tuna, you know. Yeah, we never go away because we glow in the dark now.
So Charlie Tuna does.
I'm telling you, man, that Fukushima stuff. Anyway.
The gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. You know, and it's like the hyperinflation thing, you know. It's like, yeah, our cans of tuna used to be like, you know, you'd get like five sandwiches out of them. Now they're going to be the size of an Oreo cookie here pretty soon.
You're lucky if you can get 1.5 sandwiches out of a tuna can now.
Yeah, it's there's no inflation, though. Tea Party meets every Monday night, and it stands for, I'm sorry, the Patriots. I'm going to have to change that on my little intro here. The Patriots. Reading Patriots. I'm going to type this in. Reading Patriots. There, then I won't
screw that up. Yes, and we'll be at the Vineyard Church, which is 3276 Pacelli Lane.
They stand for...
And I will put in, as a Raiders fan, I had nothing to do with that name.
What if it was up to him? It'd be Madden's Madden.
Yeah. The Reading Madden Knights.
Madden's Raiders. Madden's Angry Raiders.
That's not bad. The Reading Raiders. I'm okay with that.
Boy. Anyway, they stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution. You have been listening to Jefferson State of Mind. It starts every Sunday at 8 a.m., the hour before us, and we always hold Red over. He's now a part of the team, and that's just the way it is.
Like, I just don't go away.
It's like, you just like it or not, you know? I mean, he's here. We show up, he's here. Okay. You're pretty soon he's going to be taking over our spot. But
in my defense, you did ask me to stay that one time.
Yeah.
One time we asked you to help out, and look what it got us, you know?
I had a couple of relatives like that. I asked them to come in and sleep on the couch for a night, and I had to pry them off with a shoehorn and give them the boot, you know? But, you know, I would like to say that I did listen to Terry and Mark yesterday on QMS on Pete Peter's show. I guess I can say KQMS, can't I?
Or KPMS.
Did. KPMS. I didn't say that. That was
no rivalry there.
That was Bob. But... anyway, you know, they did a great job yesterday, you know. I mean, now we know who we can get in here for our guest hosts when we need them, you know, so we can all
except
go on vacation.
They never come in this studio.
Yeah, what's the deal? They don't like us? What, did I forget to put the right guard on? What? I don't know.
Oh, Mark would, but Terry, we have a hard time getting him to come actually in the studio.
It's Carl's fault.
Oh. Well, yeah, we got to blame somebody.
Yeah, we'll blame
it's
Carl.
Mr. Bot's fault.
It is. Mr. Bot.
That's what he gets thrown in the station. It's Carl's fault.
Just think if his name was Robert, he'd be Robbot.
Careful, he might be cruising around the studio here.
He might be in here.
Yeah.
Bobbot?
He's probably armed, too.
he's probably packing heat. Oh, boy. Well, I think we're going to have Tom Basanko on our show later on today at 11
he's
o'clock.
Supposed to
he's
be.
Supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I guess that's not a for sure.
Well, it was, you know how it is being sheriff. You can't, right. You know, we schedule these things and sometimes things happen and he's not able to attend. But if he's available, I'm sure he'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw him up at the Danbury yesterday. He was buying tickets for a barbecue.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Nice barbecue, too.
Wow. Well, I guess we should hit some headlines here. I mean, there was a bunch of stuff. I heard you talking a little bit about CalPERS this morning. They've got some kind of new legislation that they're introducing to freeze your account or what, you know?
we've got a couple of CalPERS things going on. Apparently, the president of the fund has been arrested for domestic abuse, domestic battery, and they went ahead and, while they were arresting him for that, sprung on the fact that he's been indicted for corruption and receiving bribes of at least $250,000.
Oh.
And that begs the eternal question. Have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah.
and there's no good answer to that one. The answer, no. And it's like, oh, you're still beating her. And, you know, oh, if you stopped, you were beating her. You know, I mean, so.
Well, my question is his wife a government employee? Because they're beating them, too.
Man. Well, I just saw a thing on McCain's deal. His campaign guys down there in Arizona got his top campaign manager got busted for a meth lab. Her and her husband.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what to say. You know, I mean,
the recovery is so good that the campaign manager for John McCain has to have a meth lab to live.
It's kind of like what's his name?
Leland Yee.
You know, gee, I'm up here. I'm bad mouthing every gun thing. Let's keep pass legislation. In the meantime, I'm running guns to Syria.
Well, have you seen what government pensions looks like? He's got to have something to retire on.
I suppose, because what do you do? Wow. I mean, and you know what gets me is that. Why doesn't any of this, I mean, none of this seems to make the press. I just don't understand it. I'm having a little computer trouble here. I got a Venezuelan runs out of money to print new money article that I want to talk about here. But let's talk about this CalPERS while I get my computer straightened out a little bit.
Well, I've been looking at some legislation that's getting kicked around and proposed. And one of the ones that's actually already going to the legislature is the state government wants to seize direct control of the CalPERS funds. They're telling everybody the only way to save the CalPERS funds and correct it is to put the state in control of the fund and let them balance the budget like they do now.
Yeah, that's got to be good.
Yeah, the truth is California can't balance a budget. They've never figured out how to do that. And CalPERS, there is no saving it. Now, the government wants to take control of it, but probably for different bankruptcy reasons and things like that, I'm thinking. But one of the proposals is they now want to start a group fund, a mass California fund, where everybody that's employed in the state of California pays into the fund.
This is like Myra from this is like they copied Obama's
like California Social Security. Okay, so you would have your California retirement fund and your Social Security retirement fund, and they're thinking that the influx of money that they could take from people in the retirement fund would help to stabilize CalPERS. never mind the fact that CalPERS is 60% of GDP, the unfunded liability. That's not the total. 60% of what we produce is required just to pay the bill on our unfunded liability.
Wow.
That's not sustainable.
Oh, not sure it is. You got fuzzy math. Come on.
Maybe I should try it with Common Core.
Yeah. I mean, but what the heck? You know, I mean, what does it matter?
If I had to take my salary at the end of the year and give 60% of it to a guy that doesn't produce any work for me anymore, I wouldn't make it very long.
Well, you know, but
then I've got to pay my property tax, my sales tax, my car registration, you know, my fuel tax. I got to pay everything else. I got to keep the lights on, food in the fridge, clothes on the kids' back. You know, and 60% of my money is already out the door to pay the guy that doesn't work for me.
I bet you're one of those Redding Raiders.
I am.
You could just go to the mailbox and collect your check.
Well, you can do that.
You know, get all that free stuff and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Nah, I'm just going to open an account in Panama.
Well, I think that we should go to Venezuela because that segues right into
There's a good place.
Yeah. This okay, this is an article from Zero Hedge. By the way, they did reveal who Zero Hedge is, Tyler Durbin. I got that. I got the names. I'll have to pull them up here.
I've been interested to know.
Yeah, interested. We'll have a little talk about that here in a little bit when I pull
they,
up the
they
article.
Get the best stuff.
Oh, man, these guys are awesome. So here's the head of the title of the article. This is the end. Venezuela runs out of money to print money.
Yeah, that's logical.
There's not even any more paper in it. What are they going to do, start printing it on, like, paper towels or toilet papers?
Back in February, they commented on the unprecedented hyperinflation to be unleashed in the Latin American country, whose president just announced that he would expand the weekend for public workers to 5 days. So now
their weekend's 5 days.
Okay, so first we're going to – okay, this is going to be great. You get a 5-day weekend with no pay. And we're going to shut off your electricity because you can't afford it now.
Is that like rolling blackout?
Yeah, it's like smart meter things, you know. We've just got smart meters, you know.
Yeah.
And so we just shut it off, and then, you know, but, you know, it's unclear at this point just where the country will find all the paper banknotes it needs to for all the physical, new physical currency. After all, the central bank data shows Venezuela has more than doubled the supply of hundreds, fifties, and $2 Bolivar notes in 2015 as a doubled monetary liquidity included in bank deposits.
Time to go digitized.
Supply has grown even as Venezuela has fewer U.S. dollars to support their new Bolivars. Okay, so their dollar is backed by our dollar. Just like Canada's.
Yeah, like Canada's saying, Canada. Hey, we're back with an idea.
Let's sell all our real money because we got those U.S. dollars that they just keep printing.
Let's sell our gold.
Let's sell our gold because it's worthless pieces of dirt. You know, the question is morbidly amusing as it may have been. You know, becomes particularly poignant recently. For the first time, one U.S. dollar could purchase more than 1,000 Venezuelan bolivars on the black market. So they got an exchange rate right now of 1,127 to 1. So, you know.
So stuff's cheap in Venezuela.
No.
But there's nothing to buy?
In other words, okay, so millions of pounds of provisions stuffed into 36 747 cargo planes arrived from countries around the world in recent months to service Venezuela's crippled economy. But instead of food and medicine, the planes carried another resources that often run scarce here. Bills of Venezuelan currency, the Bolivar. So they sent in 36 747s filled to the brim with paper money. Because that's what creates wealth.
Yes.
It does.
And the people are doing much better now, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot more toilet paper.
Yeah.
A lot more fire starter.
But not so much on the medicine and food now, okay? So the shipments were a part of an import of at least 5 billion banknotes that the President Nicolas Maduro's administration authorized over the latter half of 2015 as the government boosts the supply of the country's increasingly worthless currency, according to 7 people familiar with the deals. More planes are coming in.
Yay.
Well,
it's like Fantasy Island. Look, boss, the plane.
It's the plane. Yeah, they're bringing in more supplies.
Except we can't eat and we're dying.
But we have big fires on the beach now.
Oh, you know what they could do? You could do it like Taco Bell did with the taco shells. You could have different flavored money.
Yo quiero no tengo dinero.
You could have a nacho flavored $2 bill, ranch flavored $5. You know, just add boiling water and eat it up.
Let's go to a break because I can't take it anymore.
If you want to call in and you have a question or comment for us, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I like that idea. Edible money.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life
of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dream.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
You're paralyzed by the possibilities when it comes to dealing with your windows.
Budget widespread.
What about function? Total darkness. Filtered light. Should there be a lining?
Budget blinds ready.
And then there's fabric. Do you need blinds, curtains, drapes, shutters? Maybe a layered look. What about installation?
Budget blinds ready.
At Budget Blinds Reading, you're given the very best of two worlds. Locally owned service and the peace of mind knowing Budget Blinds Reading offers more brands and more fashion-forward styles with window treatment options that work within your budget. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds Reading team are dedicated to giving you design help to create a home that reflects your personality.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window coverings, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge and Wind River Resort and Casino Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. We'll have a night of jazz and fun with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimonis on drums, and special guest Lou White from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, Romance on the River, Cinco de Mayo style, May 5th. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet every day. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off far on the bigger house, if Daddy had done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Yeah, I think there's some words there of wisdom, and that's Aaron Tippett. I thought we'd go a little country today, just because I've been feeling kind of country this morning. So, anyway, Venezuela is having a real problem because they don't stand for anything except free money. You know, Venezuela, and we got to just do this a little farther because it's just unbelievable. Okay. So the problem is that, you know, they need to pay for their dollars in hard dollars to print the rapidly devaluing domestic currency. In fact, some of the sources of funds to purchase its own money was the liquidity of its own gold reserves. Okay, let me say that again. It was using its liquidity of its own gold reserves. Okay, and Venezuela has been quietly selling to willing offshore buyers.
Why wouldn't they just buy real stuff with gold instead?
Because they would lose control.
Okay.
It's like, you know, I mean, Venezuela, in other words, is now so broke that it may not have enough money to pay for its money.
Oh, that's totally logical.
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
Nope, I'm still not getting it. Why don't they just buy real stuff with their gold?
because
then the people could eat and have medicine.
Because I want to make you all happy for now. Okay.
So if I draw fancy pictures on a piece of paper and I take it to Venezuela, they'll give me gold for it.
Sort of, yeah.
Cool. You know. I like that idea.
Yeah, because
winner, winner, chicken dinner on that one.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, we could beat this one. And then, you know, and then I see this other story. Okay, this is from Azizonomics, Economics, Technology, and Futurism. Okay, that's A-Z-I-Z-O-N-O-M-I-C-K, M-I-C-K-S,
M-I-C-S.
This is Mickey Mouse-onomics.
Yeah,
that's what they're practicing in Washington and most of the central banks and governments in worldwide.
I never got that saying that they're going to Mickey Mouse it. I mean, Walt Disney never did anything halfway. I mean, I don't know. I just went off on a tangent.
I'm not sure where we're going with that, yeah. But it was all started by a mouse.
There you go. Okay.
So I'm looking at this article, April 29th. Universal basic income is inevitable, unavoidable, and incoming. And they show the helicopter flying over with the money thrown out there. And that's kind of like what they're doing in Venezuela, you know. I mean, I'm just wondering when Maduro is going to, you know, escape to his island. Because, you know, when you try to run an economy on nothing but, you know, air and paper, digits... it's a problem because they can't fix the economy, just like they can't fix the economy now because they won't do the reset. They won't go after the real problem. It's them that's the problem. You know, the central banks and the government in collusion with Wall Street. That's the problem. But then, you know, if you get rid of that problem, then all of a sudden they don't have all this control anymore. And that's a problem. So let's just... We don't care if everybody's standing on the beach burning $100 bills and starving to death.
So if I draw cool pictures on paper and take it to Venezuela, they'll give me gold?
It's the plane.
I'm stuck on the part that they're not buying stuff with gold. They're trading it for paper.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Well, they're economic geniuses, aren't they?
Brilliant.
That's because gold is just a worthless
rock. Well, they have to
just
be economic.
Ask the morons on CNBC.
They have to be economic geniuses. They're socialists.
Yes.
That makes them smart.
It makes them smart when you want to just give everything away that you stole from everybody that had anything until they run out of money and there's nothing left to steal and everybody's poor. And then the answer is to just keep printing more paper money.
Isn't that kind of what we're doing?
So that we can correct the economy.
Isn't that kind of the same thing that's happening here?
Isn't that what...
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
yeah,
I'm
just
brilliant.
Saying.
The delusional commander-in-chief and thief... They asked him on some program the other day. I just caught the sound blip. Oh, gee, what? Can you tell us what you did in the last 8 years? Well, I saved the world from economic disaster. No. What you did was prolong the disaster and made it bigger when it finally happens.
We're in the vortex now. Sorry, Obama. I'm, you know. I'm just saying, you know.
The guy's either evil and corrupt. Okay. I'm running that way. I'm leaning that way. Or he's delusional, and the people around him are completely delusional. We're Venezuela. We just haven't quite made it there yet. Let's just keep printing and see what happens.
I think he's both.
Delusional, a delusional, corrupt, evil idiot?
Yeah, pretty much.
All the above.
All of the
check
above.
Check the box. All the above.
Well,
and the correct answer is?
There's a certain amount of truth to that, because to... want to be a tyrant, to want to be in control enough, you actually have to be delusional enough to believe that you're going to control the entire world and get away with it. Nobody has ever gotten away with it, and nobody ever will. I mean, you can run on for a long time, but sooner or later...
your luck runs out.
Your luck, yeah. You're
you
done.
Have no luck no more.
Okay, so I got to read some more of this article, because it's unprecedented. Okay, it's an unprecedented... It's an
unprecedented.
No, hang on. There's something going on here you don't know about, so don't judge me. Oh, okay?
I wasn't judging. I was just saying.
Okay. It's unprecedented. It's an unprecedented case in history with a country with such high inflation. They can't get new bills because they don't have the money to pay for the new bills. So last year, the central bank ordered more than 10 billion banknotes, surpassing the 7.6 billion the U.S. Federal Reserve requested this year for an economy many times the size of Venezuela. Now, you know, as we reported 4 months ago, the cash arrived in the middle of the night in a dozen 747 chartered planes under cover of security forces and snipers, and was transferred in armored caravans.
Who would steal it?
Caravans.
Yeah.
Where it was spirited to the central bank in the dead of the night.
The suitcases are probably worth more than the money inside.
They can't give it away.
But that's the problem. See, this is a mind problem because it's the perception. Okay, you know, while Venezuela was already planning its future cash orders, the cash vendors were starting to get worried. According to company documents, De La Rue began experiencing delays in the payments as early as June. Similarly, the bank was slow to receive pay. I'm not going to go into the names here. So when the tender was offered, the government only received about $3.3 billion in bids, bank documents show, which led to an interesting phenomenon. When it comes to counterparty risk, one usually has a mind in digital funds or electronic securities. In this case, however, the counterparty risk involved cold, hard cash. Initially, your eyes grow as big as dish plates, said one person familiar with the matter. An order big enough to fill your factory for a year, but do you want to completely expose yourself to a country as risky as Venezuela? That's what we're talking about. So let's just keep printing and printing and printing,
yeah.
And there's going to be no recourse.
Yeah. And I guess with that, we need to go to our caller. We have David from San Francisco on the line. Good morning, David.
Hey, morning. It's Mark and Linda, right?
It is.
Yep.
Mark, Red, and Linda.
Oh, yeah. Greetings. You know, many years ago, I learned about the Federal Reserve and the false money system. And so I started studying it. And have you ever read that book? There was a series of books that would come out every election year called The Making of the President series.
No, I haven't read them.
And, well, if you look for the one for 1972, that's when Nixon ran out the gold in Fort Knox. And
he took us off the gold standard because of the trade imbalances because of the Vietnam War.
Well, that was what he told us, but the But if you read that book, it makes it plain that Fort Knox was empty.
Well, that might be true because he, in other words, he had to stop the gold flowing out of the country because what was happening because of the trade imbalances and with other countries, you know, back then in the gold standard, they could demand gold for their paper dollars, and the gold was being shipped out of the country in such supplies that it was breaking the country.
Well, partly, that's why I was going to urge you to read that book, because it describes kind of the theory behind the world of gold and diamonds and silver specie versus...
No, diamonds aren't species.
No.
Well, they had been in certain countries.
Well, they used to have sticks in England that they called money too, but they're not real. You can't consider them money because in order to be money, not only do you have to have a store of value over a long period of time, which diamonds would qualify, but it also has to be divisible into equal parts, which you can't do with diamonds.
Well, and it was also the concept that gold didn't rust.
Well, it's forever, yeah.
Silver did. Gold.
Well, silver tarnishes, but it does not rust. You can throw a bar of silver in the ocean for 1,000 years and pick it back up, and it's actually worth more than when it went in.
Oh, is that right? You mean it'll actually gain? It'll attract more silver?
Absolutely. No, it won't attract more silver, but it's worth more because now it's not only the metal and the bullion, but there is the collector value of it. For example, you know, when you see these ships go in off the coast, when they go in, the gold is worth $35 an ounce, for example, and now they're worth millions because they have a collector's value as well.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the concept of specie. In other words, specie was that you would have a value that was stable. And so you could have a stable economy if you had a certain tonnage of gold or a certain tonnage of silver or diamonds or whatever. But the idea that...
Dave, we need to get to the point because we also have another caller here, too.
Sure.
So.
Well, it describes how as the population of the world kept increasing, the tonnage... of gold was not going to increase. I mean, they'd mine more, but the total amount of gold in the entire planet was not going to increase as much as the population.
Which is why it has intrinsic value.
Why it's not counterfeitable, which makes it more valuable.
Well, and that's why they came up with the fiat system, which was supposed to be able to prevent war.
No, that's all bull.
The idea was that the collateral of a nation was everything that they had built before. All of their ancient temples, all of their, sewer systems and roads and bridges were going to be collateral for what they were going to be able to build in the future. And it was, if you were going to have a good education system in that system, in that country,
I think you're running way down the rabbit holes. That really has nothing to do with it. The reason they started creating specie was that they found out that they could counterfeit money based on the holdings that they had in the banks, and they could end up owning all of the stuff that was in the banks by charging interest on the money they were counterfeiting.
Yeah, but besides, the idea of infrastructure owned by the people of the country is only about 200 years old, started in a place called America. Before that, Dave, listen. The idea of the roads or the bridges were infrastructure. Infrastructure to who? They belonged to the king. The king didn't need to hold collateral for anything.
Well, I mean, you could look at it that way, but it was still the basic idea.
Well, I can look at it that way because it was that way.
Well, facts do matter. And listen, we got to move on, Dave.
We do have another
one. Check out that book.
Yeah, send
thank you, Dave.
Thanks for calling in. And we have Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick. You got a comment for us this morning?
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk about the Obama administration putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill and with plans to put different pictures on other bills. It seems to me that he's just rubbing it in our nose the way he has devalued our currency, kind of, like the way Idi Amin did in Uganda, just print more money.
Just keep doing it.
And put our picture on it, and this and that. And I think that a different avenue, a better avenue for Obama in reference to the way their welfare state has done Detroit and Washington, D.C. and Baltimore and those cities, is maybe it would be more appropriate to bring back the food stamp coupons and put their pictures on those.
Well, the only reason that I have any problem with the Harriet Tubman thing is that up to this point, only presidents were on our dollar bills.
Well, other than Benjy Franklin.
Well, the founding fathers.
In my opinion, there's got to be more worthy people than Harriet Tubman.
Well, again, I think you're right.
I think Harriet Tubman. She was a slave that fought for freedom and shot Democrats.
Well, how about Frederick Douglass? There's a self-educated colored person that went to Europe on lectures, started his own paper. I would say he would be a lot more deserving.
But, Nick, he was
a
Republican.
That's just my opinion, and that's why I called. I wanted yours.
Well, I think...
You can't do Frederick Douglass. He was a Republican.
Oh, damn. Well, I want to thank you guys for having patience with the handicap today, and I'll leave it at that.
All right,
thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Frederick Douglass never learned to check his white privilege. That's the problem.
I think he's right. This is a poke in the eye, you know, by the administration, just because he can do it. But I really think that it's a poke in the eye to have the Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill, who was dead set against this whole thing in the first place.
Yeah, he never wanted the federal...
Is it going to make any difference because the money's not worth anything?
Well,
anyway,
that's kind of my point.
You know,
we need to get scrapped the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of my point is the fact that Andrew Jackson is on a $20 bill when he ran for president and his campaign slogan was no bank, because he knew that this fiat currency system would end up, he said that the central bankers were a hydra-headed serpent with engines of destruction on the sovereignty of the American people. That's a quote. Okay, now he's on the $20 bill. I think that's a bigger poke in the eye than actually the Harriet Tubman thing.
Well, looking at it that way, it's maybe a poke in the eye at all of the founding fathers.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Washington, Jefferson, all of them were against this crap. Go back and read their stuff. Jefferson said, basically... banking institutions were more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. I mean, he said that if we ever let if the American people ever allow a private bank to issue the currency in the land that their fathers conquered, they will end up homeless through first deflation and then inflation, and the big large corporations that'll spring up around them and deprive them of their liberty.
Well, they never thought we were going to have printed money.
Well,
right.
So what you're telling me is an antithetical, anti-American organization like the Federal Reserve that goes against everything that our founding fathers believed in would print money with symbols on it that were blasphemous to the beliefs of our founding fathers?
I know where you're going with this.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, they wouldn't have like a capstone eye on the back of the money, anything like that.
You mean so it wasn't actually our founding fathers that came up with those symbols?
No.
Well,
we could go back into the Freemasons and all that stuff. Needless to say, that all of that doesn't really matter. What really matters is that you have an out of control government that's basically colluding with a private bank that's issuing currency and charging interest on our own money. And in Venezuela, they just throw out the private bank and just say the government takes control of the whole thing, and central bankers, but central banking is worldwide. I mean, I saw a little blurb the other day. There used to be like five or six countries that were not a part of this central bank cabal. Okay, now there's only three left.
We bummed the other
two. And how many countries is there? Like 225 in the world?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, my point is a lot.
Yeah. So we got three countries left that aren't in the central banking cabal. Okay, we've got North Korea.
China?
Nope. Iran.
Oh.
And Afghanistan.
Interesting.
Okay, it used to be that you could add to that Iraq. And you used to be able to add... They had a central bank 2 weeks after in Iraq or in Libya. So Libya used to have a central bank.
Well, that maniac was about to establish his own currency backed with gold.
Yeah, so we
can't have that.
So we're down to a worldwide cabal of central banking. There's only three countries left, and I know it's just coincidence that those happen to be the three that are our enemies, our sworn enemies.
And the ones we've been fighting for how many years now over there? 15.
Now, they got a case...
This last war, 15? Yeah. We're going... Yeah.
Yeah, we've been in Afghanistan a long, long time.
Yes, we have. Way too long.
Yeah, I mean, they got a pretty good case on Iran and Korea being our enemies, I guess. Iran, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of twisted CIA crap going on there. But North Korea, he's obviously screwed up in the head. Maybe.
You'd think.
Yeah.
But you got people here that want to go over there and be friends with
just
them.
Just ask Dennis Rodman.
Well, yeah.
Well, when you have a granddad and a dad that's an indoctrinated communist and then has taught you your whole life that you're the anointed chosen one to save the world, you end up with people like Kim Jong mentally ill and Ted Cruz.
You stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
I just figure anymore, in order to get elected in America, you have to be born in a foreign country.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Chosen and groomed from birth.
I'm leaving that one alone.
I'm not
going to
go
bit.
That far yet, but I feel your...
I'm going there.
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
I never had sex with that woman either.
Yeah, well, Bill just groomed something else still on his way to the top.
Sorry. covers a lot of territory with that comment.
So did Bill.
We do have a little clip on Napolitano from Judge Napolitano, not the other one that was visiting the UC system, the Janet Napolitano. This is actually the other, the good guy, the Judge Napolitano. And
they're not related.
No. And he's talking about what's going on with the Hillary investigation, so maybe we'll cue that up for after the top of the hour and look at that. But, I'll tell you what, it's crazy out there. I'm looking at – we got to do this. I got so many stories that we need to just kind of cover that nobody's covering really. Okay, this is from E&E News, Energy News. Let's see, dead animals litter California beach, alarming phenomena, graveyard of washed-up sea life, influx of malnourished sea creatures. Experts, we're really starting to worry. The animals are starving to death, covered in sores, stunted growth, weak immune system. There's videos.
Nothing to do with the radiation that's floating around out there in the ocean, right?
No, it's climate change.
Oh, no, it's the algae, right? Like the crabs?
Yeah, the crabs and the algae bloom.
Yeah, officials are investigating, why six sea lions are washing up on shore. Laguna Beach Pacific Marine Mammal Center has an overflow of sea lions. The reason of the influx of sea lions remains a disappearing cold water food source. Another unusual...
Maybe because that water ain't so cold no more.
That's because we're dumping tons and tons of gallons in the ocean, maybe?
Yeah, I guess Fukushima just...
And that, too.
Or a nuclear reactor.
I think we're still going somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, just because they glow on the beach doesn't mean anything.
So I'm looking at different headlines. NBC LA, NBC LA Transcript, Laguna Beach Independent, Salon. I'm not sure what that is. Pepperdine University student paper.
Oh, stay away from Salon. Salon is a commie rag.
Yeah, it just says dead animals litter California beaches. This is on April 21st. California is in its third straight year of unusual mortality rates for sea lions. The dismal state was first declared in 2013, and death rates have increased every year since. It looks like 2016 will be worse. California beaches, I'm not sure what they're blaming it on.
Pirates.
I'm going to say they're going to go for the global warming phenomena. But this seems to be a big problem, and I guess nobody's even addressing the fact that we've got, 4 years, how many years, 4 years now since Fukushima?
A little bit longer than 4 or 5 years, I think it's been.
And I guess nobody addresses that problem at all because, North America will not be, North America is the top of the headline here on TV from E&E News. North America will not be safe from Fukushima radiation if the plant keeps leaking. Duh.
They don't even know where the plant is. Where's the plant? The Pacific Ocean? Where?
Yeah, animals suddenly died on the West Coast right after 2011, while the whole world has noticed this strange phenomenon.
It's not strange.
Fatally high levels of radioactive material have entered the ocean. Serious pollution is going on. Nuclear experts, this is a nuclear expert. We've detected a lot of cases of gargantuism in Fukushima. Another reporter, gigantic bead.
Godzilla.
It's Godzilla. Yeah, but this isn't going to be Godzilla versus Mothra. This is going to be, is it safe to eat food out of the Pacific Ocean?
Charlie Tuna, now with 15% less tumors.
You had to say that. Sorry.
Let's go to a break.
All right. With that, we'll go to a break. You want to call in? The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
This is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field. Cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free.
I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love.
Yeah. We were country when country wasn't cool. I love Alabama. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing takes me home more than little Alabama.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, words of wisdom for Sunday. A democratic government is the only one in which those who vote for a tax can escape the obligation to pay it. That's why we are not, and that was Tocqueville. That's why we are not a democratic government. We are a republic.
I am so tired of hearing that we are a democracy that I can't tell you.
Well,
on the TV, it's all the time. It's like, really?
We have been pushed into democracy.
Well, I know, but that's not what we are.
Oh, we're at the top
of the
hour.
Oh, we're at the top of the hour. So I guess we're going to pick this up and maybe run the clip after the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We got more news coming your way, folks. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Sodium hydroxide was leaking from one of the derailed cars, but no evacuations were ordered. Iraq joins the string of Islamic countries in extreme turmoil these days, Connie Lawn reports.
A state of emergency is in effect in Iraq. Anti-government protesters stormed Iraq's parliament, beating and abusing lawmakers who fled the buildings. The prime minister is in trouble, and his government might fall. The protesters broke through walls and surged into the heavily fortified Green Zone, which houses the U.S. Embassy and many Iraqi government ministries. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
A recent report finds three government agencies spent almost $760 million in taxpayer cash to boost education in Afghanistan without any oversight.
An inspector general report writes, the U.S. Agency for International Development, the State Department, and the Pentagon have not adequately assessed their efforts to support education in Afghanistan. The money went to 39 programs to support primary and secondary education in Afghanistan. The report also says while USAID had a long-term strategy for education in Afghanistan, the State Department and the Pentagon did not.
Linda Kenyon reporting. Authorities say six people, including four children, have been killed in a highway crash in South Florida. The Highway Patrol says last night's accident involved a minivan and an SUV. It took place on Interstate 95 in Jupiter. The White House says President Obama's daughter, Malia, will take a year off after high school and attend Harvard in 2017. Malia is set to graduate in June from the exclusive Sidwell Friends School in Washington. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Something just happened that has explained why survival food is literally flying off the shelves and has sold out in many areas of the country. It caught me totally by surprise, and it involves FEMA. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. I just created a free video presentation at FEMA8.com that exposes the truth. Be warned, it's really disturbing, because the fact is, FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMA8.com to see the number one item to hoard and why supplies of this critical item are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in recent days. Go to FEMA8.com and discover the number one item most critical in a crisis. Go watch my video now at FEMA8.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's FEMA8.com.
Under extra security, the Brussels airport reopened its departure hall today for the first time since deadly ISIS attacks in March. The airport had already resumed some flights, but passengers had been using a temporary check-in tent because of extensive damage to the departure hall from the twin suicide bombings that killed 16. Passengers on select flights started using the newly repaired departure hall today after a special ceremony presided over by the Belgian Prime Minister. With about 92% of the world's declared chemical weapons stockpiles destroyed, the watchdog agency overseeing the elimination of poison gas and nerve agents is looking now to counter extremist threats and dealing with the unfinished business in Syria. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons is marking the April 29, 1997 entry of the Chemical Weapons Convention with a three-day conference beginning tomorrow. More details on these stories at townhall.com. Leaders from the Congressional Prayer Caucus are demanding the return of Bibles that were removed from displays at a number of VA clinics.
The Bibles, which were part of missing man displays, were meant to signify the strength gained through faith among military members missing in action. They were removed from tables at three clinics nationwide. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford and Virginia Congressman Randy Forbes have written to the VA and asked the Bibles be returned immediately. They argue the Establishment Clause of the Constitution does not require the government to scrub all references to religion from the public square.
Correspondent Wally Hines. Today is Sunday, May the 1st. It's the 122nd day of 2016. There are 244 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1707, the Kingdom of Great Britain was established as the treaty merging England and Scotland took effect. On this date in 1931, New York's 102-story-tall Empire State Building was dedicated. More on these stories at townhall.com.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The United States of America, and to your republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us, let's go right.
For a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Sovereign Minds. We're in the second half, second hour anyway. I don't know about the second half, but anyway, we're...
It's like a hockey game. We're in the second period.
It's, we're in the, second period. There's three periods in a hockey game. I have no knowledge of hockey.
Yeah. It's hockey playoffs right now, too.
I'm sending you a video here, Bob, of Goldman Sachs. Try to get that queued up here too.
Okay.
So let's. So what did we have queued up for after the hour? We're going to talk about. We've got so many things to talk about. It's like, where do you start? You know, it's just crazy right now. But
we got the judge, I think, queued up, don't we?
We have the judge.
Okay, let's go ahead and do the judge. This is the latest on Hillary, and then we'll get into Goldman Sachs and some of these other things that nobody's talking about. So if you can play it, go right ahead there, Bob.
All right. This is Judge Napolitano on the evidence facing Hillary Clinton.
This week, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, meanwhile, suggesting that if politics get in the way of the Hillary Clinton private email server investigation, that a rogue FBI agent may take matters into his own hands. Grassley telling the Des Moines Register, quote, "If there's political interference, then I assume that somebody in the FBI is going to leak these reports, and it is either going to have an effect politically or it's going to lead to prosecution if there's enough evidence." FBI Director James Comey addressing the issue last week, claiming that no election deadlines are standing in his way.
Somebody asked me in the States about whether I think the question was, is the Democratic National Convention a hard stop for you, or is that a key day for you? Are you doing this investigation aimed at... And I said, no.
Joining us right now to sort it all out, Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, good to see you.
Good morning.
It is pretty extraordinary that Grassley would say the FBI may very well leak it.
Look, everybody that's involved in law enforcement knows that sometimes law enforcement improperly and illegally leaks information to the press in order to affect the public perception of their case against the defendant. Sometimes it's to affect a jury pool. Sometimes it's to stir the pot. Sometimes these are bona fide whistleblowers. Sometimes these are people frustrated by their superiors. But it is highly unusual for the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee to anticipate the need for an FBI leaking like this and to suggest that it would be wise for it to happen. Now, there is a caveat in here. He did say, I'm not asking the FBI to do it because it's a crime to leak this kind of information, and the FBI knows it. But he would not be surprised if FBI agents who truly believe that there is enough evidence to indict Mrs. Clinton and to convict her on both the email charge and the public corruption charge will feel frustrated and stymied by the political people in the Justice Department and will want the public to know what they know. If that class of people, be more than one person, leaks information to the press. I agree with Senator Grassley. If there is a leak, and if what is leaked is credible, and let's face it, what is already publicly known is credible, that the president could have a Saturday night massacre, Watergate-style disaster on his hands in the last 6 months of his presidency.
The whole idea of this suggests that people are expecting politics to get in the way. The whole idea of this suggests that either President Obama is somehow telling somebody or one of his people, telling the State Department or the FBI, lay off Hillary ahead of the election. I mean, that's
Look,
what they suggest.
You know, when Chris Wallace interviewed the president, a dynamite interview, and the president should not have asked some of Chris's questions. The questions were terrific and appropriate. But the president is involved in this. How is
right.
the president involved? Some of the top secret emails, top secret, on her server were sent to her by him. So the president has a stake in this. He does not want this case to be tried.
Right.
He did insist to Chris politics would not be involved. Many years ago, a good friend of our boss, Roger Ailes, a now deceased columnist for the New York Times, Bill Sapphire, coined a phrase for the Justice Department. You'll like this. The Department of Political Justice. No matter who's running the Justice Department, there's a branch in there called the Department of Political Justice, which will stop the indictments of people that don't want indicted. That's what the FBI is running up
wow.
against.
Can we come back to these Grassley comments? They struck me as a little on the vague side. Do you think he knows something? In other words, do you think he knows that there are FBI agents who are frustrated with the way this investigation is going and who want to leak something? Or is he just kind of speculating and playing politics himself and saying, hey, this better come out if the top people...
It's a great question. I don't know what he knows, but I do know that it is generally known in Washington that the same team of FBI agents that investigated and led to the prosecution of General Petraeus is investigating Mrs. Clinton. And many on that team believe that General Petraeus got a slap on the wrist.
There you go.
And because the evidence in Mrs. Clinton's case
yep.
is exponentially greater, they do not want to see this happen again.
Yeah. Can she survive a slap on the wrist?
I don't think she can survive any kind of charge against her, even if they let her plead to what's called an information, which is an agreement to plead to something. It's technically an indictment. I don't think she can survive that and stay as a political candidate. I also don't think she could survive the leakage of enough information that causes neutral observers to say, why wasn't she indicted?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think she can politically survive that.
I'll tell you where I disagree with FBI Director Comey when he says there is no deadline. That's not fair to the American people.
No, it's
That's not.
Not
fair
That's
to
right.
registered Democrats.
That's a great point.
They have resources. Comey's got unlimited resources.
So wait.
He's the director. He
exactly.
can say, I want everyone working on this. He has to say before the convention, this is a candidate you guys can have.
I
and
totally
if you can't,
agree.
You have to pick another Democrat because she's going to be in the indictment.
That's not fair
right.
to the people. I totally agree
it's
with
that. It's not fair to the Democrats. It's not fair to the American public. No one knows what his deadline is. Last October, he led us to believe January. In January, he led us to believe May. May is a week from today.
I know.
So I really don't know. But we do know
he did say he wanted to be wrapped up by the end of May.
Correct. We do know that they are nearing the end of their investigation, and we know it because they have called in her five closest aides, the same five people that are about to be deposed in the Freedom of Information Act case. And the last step in this investigation will be to invite Mrs. Clinton in. She says she can't wait to talk to them. Probably not true. Nobody being investigated by the FBI. Can't wait to talk to them.
But she has
a Hobson's choice. She has the politically safe thing to do, which is to go in. But that's legally treacherous for her to go in and expose herself.
I would never allow my client under the circumstances to go in as a criminal.
Because you don't want them to say anything that they will.
Nothing at all. I'm not going to help their investigation at all. But as a politician, if she says no, I'm not going to cooperate. And,
that in and of itself is a statement.
I don't see how this advances in an election year, especially in an election year with so much at stake and with the Republican Party in so much turmoil. How does this Justice Department
then there will be a leak.
Case like this?
Right.
That's I don't know what you mean, advance it. Meaning you don't think there will be an indictment.
Indict.
But, you know, there are people
the
in the FBI.
So
well, there are people in the FBI, and unfortunately for Mrs. Clinton, she's in the hands of these people who are absolutely apolitical, particularly the national security team, the same team that investigated General Petraeus. They couldn't care less about the politics of the country. Their job is to investigate violations of criminal law or, in this case, breaches of national security. And they don't care about timing. They don't care about politics. They don't care about politicians. They honestly don't even care about their boss. They care about the Constitution and the security of the nation.
And that's where there will be resignations if they don't get if there's something there and they don't get what they want.
There is a theory that Comey himself, if he pushes aggressively for presenting this evidence to a grand jury and is rebuffed by his bosses, will lead the resignations. Mm-hmm. Then the president has a Saturday night massacre in his hands.
His boss would be the Attorney General of the United States of America, Loretta Lynch.
Yes.
So, I mean, she would have to be the one. If Comey comes
another Brooklyn.
If Comey comes in to the Attorney General and says, look, here's all the evidence. We have enough for an indictment. Let's go in. And she says no.
Then comes the leak. Judge, good to see you. Thanks for explaining it all, Judge Napolitano there. Up next,
there's a little different information than we've been getting out of the just getting the facts right local news. You know, I'm so tired of hearing this BS that Trump can't win against Hillary. It's unbelievable. The propaganda, you know, the controlling of the narrative that Trump can't win is just crap.
It defies common sense.
Absolutely.
For one thing, if you look at all of the votes he's gotten, what a record number of primary votes.
Everything.
For any Republican.
It's the narrative. It's the constant narrative that comes from the mainstream media because they want to control the narrative because if they control the narrative, they control your mind. And they control your mind by you believing that, so why bother even showing up to vote?
And at the same time, Hillary's got fewer votes than she did in 2008 when she lost.
And
I guess the math.
I guess the fact that she's probably going to get indicted, or at least if not indicted, you know, there is a little bit of problem here with actually, the criminal truth and facts that we know she's done. I mean, the real deal is she's a freaking crook. Okay, she's taken bribes, she's, you know, destroyed evidence. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. At what point in time do you go, hey, oh, I got an idea, let's elect her for president. I mean, you got to be a moron.
Yeah.
Not to say there's not a few out there, because a lot of them are protesting at Trump rallies, like we see down in Burlingame. You know,
well, that's the funny thing is they're getting paid to protest.
Right.
Yeah.
He's already
yeah.
creating jobs.
Well, you know, let's
rent
just
a protester.
Let's just hope. Yeah, I saw that. Let's just hope that these FBI agents are Americans that are anti-political, and are going to pursue the truth, and we'll see what goes from there. You know, and then I got to poke a little bit in the eye here at Heidi Cruz here. Not that I'm, anti-Cruz as much as that I'm kind of pro-truth. Heidi Cruz comes out and says Ted's an immigrant. Now, I like immigrants if they're legal immigrants, and I'm pretty sure he's a legal immigrant, but that doesn't make him
eligible
to be president, because if you don't like, you know, the natural born citizenship and the Constitution, then let's change it. We've already, you know, not been following it, seeing how we got a person in the White House who, you know, father was a Kenyan by his own admission. Okay, let's just throw all that out. But are we going to now have a Canadian-born president? I have a problem with that because the facts are he was born in Canada, and she's saying he's an immigrant. Does that make him eligible for president? I don't think so.
No, it can't be. He can't.
It all depends on what your definition of a natural-born citizen is.
Well, there's that. Good point, Bob.
Well, that's it. But, I mean, does two rights make a wrong, or is it two wrongs make a right?
Well, he was born in Canada to a Cuban citizen and potentially an English citizen, because there's some questions about the citizenship of Ted Cruz's mom at the time of whether she was an American citizen, an English citizen, or a Canadian citizen.
And, you know, that's okay. We don't need people born in America to be the president anymore. Let's just look to other countries.
Well, she actually immigrated to Canada, not from the United States, but from England. And there's some questions that when she moved to England with her first husband, if she didn't renounce her American citizenship for English citizenship.
And I guess the fact that Heidi Cruz works at Goldman Sachs is very troubling to me. And formerly of J.P. Morgan, and who used to sit on the Council on Foreign Relations. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. Very troubling.
Raised in Kenya.
She was raised in Kenya, too. There must be something about Kenya. I'm not sure what's going on there.
I don't know, but it's not my favorite country.
It's not supposed to be our favorite country.
So let's
I'm just saying.
Moving right along.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You
guys.
Bet.
Great show as usual. And again, you just touched on my prompt to call you guys. Was your reporting on Ted Cruz read with Paul Paxton? I heard this on your program last week,
and Preston.
It is absolutely devastating and so important. And I asked you then whether you're getting this information out to whatever. Communication you can to prove this fact that he is not eligible, and everything you've done, Red, is absolutely phenomenal. And again, that's just the way we are. We don't have any laws. I mean, come on over. We got billions of dollars for all the refugees. We got this, and our veterans are in under the overpass. So anyway. Keep up the good work, but I want you to hit this Ted Cruz because he is
there's
a snake in the grass. So anyway, all right.
Well, thanks, Billy.
There is more coming. The story about Ted Cruz and his father and his grandparents, the communists, and it is starting to pick up steam and starting to get looked at and researched by other sources that are verifying the things that we've had to say. And we have some more coming. Paul just... spent several hours speaking to a reporter who actually just got back from Cuba from going there and interviewing people that knew Rafael Cruz, and there's some dynamite stuff in there.
Wow. The hits just keep on coming. I mean, I wanted Cruz to be a good guy. I just don't trust him anymore. Maybe he's still a good guy. I don't know.
You have John Boehner, who I am no fan of.
Saying that he's the Lucifer.
It's Lucifer.
I know.
That's pretty strong language.
Wow.
Yeah, coming from somebody like
Boehner. Can't stand Boehner either.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm saying. Coming from somebody like Boehner, really?
I'm not a fan of Boohoo Boehner, but you look at how hard the establishment has fought to get Cruz in there to overcome Trump for, you know, one of the titular heads of the establishment to come out and accuse the guy of being Lucifer in the middle of them, you know, clinging to a lifeline trying to get Cruz in there is a pretty powerful statement.
You know, it's just so there's a lot of problems, but this is the time they should be vetted, you know, and the mainstream media cannot vet anything anymore legitimately because
he's not a natural born citizen. And I have some very serious concerns about the color of his real politics and the fact that if he and his dad are just not nuts.
Well, there is that. So let's move on.
Before we get going, I mean, some of the more, there's Ted Cruz's dad who is, believes in this Seven Mountains Dominion that, the Christian right, which is really, when he refers to the Christian right, he's speaking of a soft Catholic socialism. is the Seven Mountain Dominion, where they believe that they need to seize the Seven Mountains of Power, which is education, politics, medium, things like that. And there will be anointed kings brought forth on the earth that is to collect the wealth of nations to distribute to the priests so that the wealth may be redistributed among believers and non-believers. And Ted Cruz's dad believes Ted Cruz is one of these new anointed kings on earth.
I've seen this movie. It was starring Shia LaBeouf. And Jackie Chan, and it was called The Forbidden City.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that? Where? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, never mind.
But you go and listen to some of the speeches by Ted Cruz's dad, and he lays it out there. They are nuts.
I don't know. I mean, so let's move on. I don't want to beat this dead horse to death, but we and there's more to come, like you say. So let's try to hit some of these other headlines that we know we need to cover because we're not sure how much time we got till Tom gets here. But I want to cover a couple of things. You know, okay, this anti-Trump riot in Burlingame. You know, I'm sure everybody knows about it, but. You know, these guys are killing themselves. I mean, they're proving the point that Trump's making, that these guys are out of control, illegal immigrants, and they got coyotes the size of watermelons here because, you know, we're just supposed to let these guys in with Mexican flags to disrupt these things. I mean, they're proving the point that they need to be ejected out of the country.
Yep.
With that...
And people don't see a problem with this?
My question is since when does a foreign national arriving in America to directly stop and attempt to break the American political system not sedition?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, so and they're violent. They're waving Mexican flags, they're rioting, you know, they're attacking Trump supporters and it's like you know what? And these guys are killing themselves. This
is how guerrilla revolutions start, this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
This is how civil wars start.
Yeah, I know. Well, and with that, I mean, has anybody seen Trump's, you know, he's actually, see, Trump's a smart guy. You know, I think he's much more of a constitutionalist than everybody believes. I think he believes in America. I think all of the above. You know, again, well, you know, you can never tell politicians, I forgot, he's not really a politician's lie. Maybe he's lying. You know, I mean, you can't trust anything in a campaign, period, because, you know, I haven't, you know, how many, does those little promises, like at the local level, those don't really matter while you're making them, while you're running for office. Those shallow campaign promises. But he's come out with a statement, you know, on the Trump site, the DonaldJTrump.com, making America great again, protecting our Second Amendment rights will make America great again. And so, you know, he comes out and says, hey, so he's coming out with his policies here and they're getting clearer and, you know, more and more clear here what he is really about. The Second Amendment in our Constitution is clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. Now, this is a statement from Donald Trump. The Second Amendment guarantees a fundamental right that belongs to all law-abiding Americans. The Constitution doesn't create that right and ensures that the government can't take it away. Our founding fathers knew, and our Supreme Court has upheld, that the Second Amendment purpose is to guarantee our right to defend ourselves and our family. It's about self-defense, plain and simple, and that would be from our government, not just the criminal down the street. So, you know, he's also saying he wants to enforce the law on the books. You know, we've got enough laws already. The Obama administration doesn't even enforce crap. You know, I mean, I'm looking at another article here from Breitbart. Obama frees 19,000 illegal immigrant criminals into the streets in 2015, including murderers and rapists. And there's people out there that think this guy's a great guy. How can you put those two even together?
It's Messiah complex.
The guy is, yeah. So 19,723 released illegals were not deported. Okay, this comes from Breitbart, and it was reported by Paul Bedard at the Washington Examiner. The number includes 208 convicted murderers, 900 convicted sex crimes, 12,307 of drunk driving. The criminals had 64,197 convictions among them, representing a whopping 8,234 violent crimes.
And they're not getting rid of them?
He released them.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
But he's doing the same with Gitmo. He wants to release those and has released them. And
did you hear that?
Yeah, how's that worked out for us?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And this is for our good. How?
And you hear that crap, that idiot, you know, at his little joke fest with his crony, you know, yes men surrounding him with the talking about, oh, yeah, Trump's good at, you know, taking property and running it down. And are you
oceanfront property?
What have you
yeah.
done? What has that absolute ignorant, dumb? Hold on a second. I'm about ready to have to get the button. What has he done? What has this idiot done?
Well, he's done a lot of things, but nothing good.
Can you think of one good thing that he's done?
I can't.
He saved the world from economic catastrophe.
Depends on which side of the fence you're sitting on. If you hate America, then the guy's great.
Well, there's that.
So, back to Trump. I mean, that guy, it makes me so mad when I hear that guy's mouth move that I just want to smash mouth him because he is so ignorant. So disingenuous, so mealy-mouthed liar.
Well, he's so in your face, and people can't see that. I mean, he's right in your face constantly with the lies and the destruction of America that it's unbelievable, and people are allowing this to continue.
RTE, great. I love this. RTE in the chat room. He's a great gun salesman. That is true.
Well, yeah.
That was gun great. Okay, you got me.
All right. Okay. He did do one good thing. He increased gun sales.
He increased gun sales. Now, going back to the statement from Trump, he wants to fix our broken mental health system. You know, he wants to get rid of this gun and magazine bans. He says that they're a total failure. It's been proven every time it's been tried. Opponents of gun rights try to come up with scary-sounding phrases like assault weapons and military-style weapons and high-capacity magazines to confuse people. What they're really talking about are popular semi-automatic rifles and standard magazines that are owned by 10 millions of Americans, law-abiding people who should be allowed to own a firearm of their choice. The government has no business dictating what type of firearms are good, honest people that are and honest people that are allowed to own them.
Right. No gun law is good.
Right. He says background checks are all right. Every time a person buys a gun from a federally licensed gun dealer, which is the overwhelming majority of all gun purchases, they go through a federal background check. Study after study has shown that very few criminals are stupid enough to try to pass the background check.
I mean, yeah.
This is common sense, all right? But here's the one I like. National right to carry. The right of self-defense doesn't stop at the end of your driveway. That's why I have a concealed carry. Now, this is Donald Trump. He has a concealed carry permit, and why tens of millions of Americans do too. That permit should be valid in all 50 states. So he's talking about once you get a concealed carry permit, a CCW permit, that the reciprocity should be in every state in the union.
Agreed.
Well,
I've always wondered about that.
That's in the Constitution. Yeah. That you shall enjoy the protections of the laws in one state in any state.
I believe in the concealed weapons permits, and I'll tell you why. Because you got to get training in order to attain one. And you don't want a bunch of morons out there running around with guns who are not trained. So I think anybody that's going to carry one in public should be trained.
Well, we used to do that on our own.
Right.
When I was in sixth grade, every single kid in my class, boy and girl, went through hunter safety and gun training.
Absolutely.
We spent almost a month on buck learning. We had to walk a course. We had to prove that we knew how to load the gun. We knew how to carry the gun. We knew how to shoot the gun.
I think that should be mandatory. And then whether you have a CCW permit or not, that everybody who has anything that wants to do with hunting or anything has to go through a few classes so they understand safety and a few other aspects of responsible gun ownership.
I think every citizen should go through
that. Why don't they bring it into our school, our education system?
Whether you ever intend on owning a gun or not, you should know what one is and how it works.
Yeah. I believe it should be in our school system, in the education system.
It used to be part of, like Eddie Eagle or whatever it is.
You don't hear anybody ever make the argument, well, I never intend to drive, so why do I have to do driver's training?
Right.
No. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And if you do that and educate people, I mean, I was educating my kids when they were real little about the safety of guns.
There you have it.
You know?
The other thing in his statement is, and the last thing, is military bases and recruiting centers. Banning our military from carrying firearms on bases and at recruiting centers is ridiculous. We train our military how to safely and responsibly use firearms, but our current policies leave them defenseless.
Yeah, so, and how has that worked for them?
It's just stupid. to make America great again, we need a strong military. To have a strong military, we need to allow them to defend themselves. You know, and this is where we start getting into the people, well, he wants to go back for the military industrial complex, and, you know, I'm not saying we attack every country on the earth, but to say we don't need a strong military is pretty stupid.
Yeah, and
especially considering the state of world affairs.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a volatile box of just TNT right now. And so, one thing the wrong way, and we're at it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, it is.
If you're not looking at the way that it is geopolitically right now, we are very, very close to similar situation to World War One, where one wrong thing, and I'm worried about how it turns out.
Yeah, and look how many troops we have out of this country and other two countries. Look at North Korea.
So these are,
we have a lot of troops outside of our borders right now.
All these things,
people need to be paying attention to what's going on in the Arctic.
Well, yeah. All these things are the solutions. Okay, this is why I keep coming back to this stuff, is because we talk about solutions. Well, getting back to the Constitution is the solution.
Yeah.
Getting back to liberty is the solution. You know, having the state of Jefferson is the solution. The solutions are there. They might not, you know, some people might not like them, but they are the solutions to the problem. It's like the whole alcohol drug thing. I am so sick of it. You know, tell me how smoking pot is different than drinking alcohol. One's legal, one's not. Come up with something, you know, one thing that there's not a comparison to alcohol and pot.
I would rather have a disagreement with a stone dude than a drunk guy.
I'm telling you, it's absolutely lunacy. All they've done is use it as a pry bar for the federal government to control the states and states' rights. It's
money.
It's that simple.
Money. Mm-hmm. That's all it
absolutely.
Is money.
It's that simple. Oh, well, they're a gateway drug. Okay, well, so's milk. I bet everybody who ever smoked pot drank milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I bet everybody whoever smoked pot, drank a beer.
Yeah.
So is beer a gateway drug?
Or smoked a cigarette.
Oh, but, no. You know, you hear all these stupid arguments. Well,
or ate a candy bar.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not the government's place to tell us what we can and can't do to our body anyway. I mean, you know,
it's all these propaganda studies that come from, you know, oh, well, it's a gateway drug. Oh, do you want to make heroin? You want to make heroin legal? Well, you know something? They're already injecting it into themselves, so it doesn't really matter whether it's legal or not.
Yeah, it doesn't stop it.
Evidently not, because we got government officials that's got labs now. I mean, hello, folks.
See, the whole problem is that it's just like the economy. If you don't let people crash on their own, of their own will, and see, there's this thing called free will, that you have the free will to kill yourself. I'm not suggesting that we do it. I'm not suggesting that you go down and get drunk all the time. I'm not suggesting that you shoot up heroin. What I'm saying is that if you really want to do that, the government's not going to stop you. What's going to stop you is yourself.
Well, it's like the government having suicide tickets. You'll be fined if you attempt to commit suicide. Fine.
It's ignorant. You know, this whole thing that the old guard has got, well, you know, alcohol's somehow better. No, because, well, alcohol doesn't ruin lives. Oh, wait a minute. It actually does.
Well, how can they not see the similarities between what happened during alcohol prohibition and drug prohibition?
I don't know how you can overlook it.
Alcohol prohibition built organized crime in this country.
Absolutely. I don't know how you can not see the similarities, and I am not in favor of alcoholism. But you know something? Do you know what stops people from being alcoholics? Realizing that they've hit bottom and they don't want to drink anymore. Not somebody saying, you can't do that.
No, that makes them usually do it more.
They want to do it more!
Exactly. You put the restraints on people, and they're going to rebel, so to speak, against whatever it is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, it doesn't matter.
And, you know, these holier-than-thou, sanctimonious things, you know, these people that think that they're going to put their form of judgment on you, but not on them. In other words, I'm going to say that if you're a marijuana guy, you're a bad seed, but I can get drunk and I'm not. What I'm saying is, who are you to tell, to pick and choose what freedom and liberty is about? It's either liberty's messy. Freedom is messy. Okay? But who are you to tell me that I don't have the freedom to do what you won't do, or me to tell you what I don't want you to do? Does that make sense?
Kind of?
No. No, not at all.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's it's not my place.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. In order for liberty to and have a strong nation, people have to be, you know,
be responsible for their own being?
Yeah, personal accountability.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
And that's
the
answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's called liberty.
I agree with it.
With morality. So, you know, we're not promoting it.
I have a question. How bad of a marijuana, cocaine, heroin problem did we have in this country before it was illegal?
It was marginal.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was very, very.
How bad of a problem do we have since the federal government has got into saying it's illegal and controlling it?
It is ballooned to proportions we can't even really qualify.
It's real simple, guys.
It's rampant everywhere.
It's real simple. Okay. The more you try to squash it, the worse it gets.
And that's just human nature.
Yeah.
The more they squeeze on gun control, the more guns get bought.
What I'm saying is here.
But if we go back to the Constitution, it's not such a problem.
See, what I'm...
Because it self-adjusts itself.
Because the real deal is...
It has to. People...
The real deal is that unless you're hurting somebody else, hey, if you want to kill yourself, I don't...
Well, one of the things that I like to do is take marijuana ordinances or marijuana laws, take out the word marijuana and insert the word firearm. And if you read that with the word firearm in there and that law pisses you off at a fundamental level, it should piss you off.
See, that's the point.
Because it's the destruction of liberty, no matter what that liberty is or if you agree with that liberty, it's that liberty that's being destroyed.
Okay, because this week we're tearing, you know, we're tearing your door down, you know, with jackbooted thugs slamming your door in and searching your house on a suspicion that you have drugs.
Yeah.
Next week, it's on a suspicion that you have firearms.
Yeah. That you have.
They don't get it.
Or that you have on the suspicion you have a Bible.
They're using.
Or the suspicion that you have anything.
The government is using these prejudices and through propaganda to get you to take away the liberty and the rights of your neighbors because you don't like what he's doing, and that works both ways.
Right.
It's to establish precedent.
Exactly. Yep.
And they make it sound so good that it's for better welfare of everybody involved.
Of course it is.
And it's going to make everybody happy. Don't the people realize that once you let the government in one step, they're not going to stop. They just keep coming, and they're showing that.
Yeah.
In our everyday life, it's constant.
Let's take a break, and then
all
we'll
right,
come
with
back
that?
With more stuff.
The number here is 530-605-4567.
This is KCNR.
Sun coming up over New York City. School bus driver in a traffic jam, staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune. One kid helps pay.
Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Rodeo, steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. Rodeo. Reading Rodeo. The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at ReadingRodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to ReadingRodeo.com. Click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer. Then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
Ah, spring. Finally. Nothing like the feeling of spring throughout your home. Budget Blinds. In the world of window coverings, Budget Blinds Reading is all you need to know to have exquisite custom window treatments that enhance every room of your home. How? Convenience. Budget Blinds Reading will come to your home or place of business, ask the right questions, and help you select the looks, styles, and colors to make every window a creation you'll love. Style. Budget Blinds Reading will show you the newest trending styles like the cordless dual shades. Energy efficiency. Budget Blinds Reading can help you determine the best selection for your windows, such as a room darkening double cell cellular shade or a layered treatment. You'll save on heating and cooling costs with the right window treatments. Expertise and safety. Budget Blinds Reading will design window coverings for different size windows to unify a room to look perfectly balanced. And most importantly, safety. Budget Blinds Reading can answer any questions about child safety.
Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. Call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Billy Man, come on. 6 o'clock news. Say somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street, for all the people to see.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the guns for the settlers, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men. and beer for my horses. We got two men against
the two. That's kind of appropriate. So let's get the horses drunk. You know, whiskey for the men and beer for the horses, then we'll all start shooting.
That's a bad idea.
That's probably not a good idea. Just, you know, we got headlines here. See, we talked about the rioters. We talked about the illegal aliens being, re-released. Former House Speaker goes to prison for concealing blackmail payments to a victim of his sexual abuse. Students at Harvard infected with mumps despite having been vaccinated.
That's just a frat joke.
That's a frat prank. Let's see. Kansas cancels plans to accept Syrian refugees. Australian government prepares to force all communities to put fluoride in drinking water as medication. Pretty good idea there. Goldman Sachs wants more depositors so there will be more cash to confiscate when needed to cover bank losses.
Puerto Rico. Start looking at Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that could be a problem. There's a story there. But, so Goldman Sachs is launching an online bank. And so that's all good. We got Arthur from Happy Valley. Maybe we should go with him first, maybe. Go ahead. Go ahead, Arthur. Are you there?
Yes. I heard you talk about Goldman Sachs. And, of course, we know from the 2010 partial audit of the Fed that Goldman Sachs received something like $800 billion from the Federal Reserve.
A mere pittance.
Yeah. Can I say something nice about Donald Trump?
Sure.
I think he was justified when he called for a 1-month moratorium on Muslim immigration. And that's not only to check for terrorism, but also we know that the majority of Muslims are in favor of Sharia law, even if only a few of them are terrorists. Sharia law is against the Constitution.
Well, and when you look at the numbers, the percentage is like 10% or something. And there's like, I don't know how many billions of Muslims in the world. So your percentage that translates into a lot of people, so let's say that they release 100,000 Muslims over here and 10% of them. That's only 10,000 of them that it could be possibly terrorists. So that's no big deal.
What a relief, one more thing about Donald Trump. I think it was Giuliani the other day said that Condoleezza Rice would make a good vice president for Donald. And what do you think of that? I like it.
Nah, not too trusting of the old Bush administration at this point.
Yeah, I understand that. I know your point. But the point is that it would be an olive branch, to the black community, in which it would send a clear message that, he's not a racist. And also it would really stick it to Hillary. He has a woman on his ticket,
What's the gal from Utah? Love.
Another possibility.
She's solid.
Well, and, with the right policymaker at the top who's directing traffic, maybe it does work. I don't know. Not being president, I'm not sure how it all works completely, but I don't know. I think that he's going to have to start naming some cabinet members here as this thing goes along, and we'll see what his choices are. But I think anybody who's pro-liberty and pro-constitution should be in the mix.
Yeah, I switched. I no longer support Cruz. But I would like to see him as Attorney General because he's a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm just not trusting Cruz at this point. There's too many things in the background there. But maybe, I'm not saying he's a bad guy either. There's some troubling things that haven't been brought out or vetted. And he's done some good things, but I've also been suspicious of his stance on, the TPP and other things.
I want Ron Paul for Secretary of the Treasury.
Right.
Well, that's a good one.
I'd be okay with that.
You guys have a good day.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go over here to before we get to Goldman Sachs. We've got China prompts criticism with tough curbs on foreign NGOs. Now, that's non-governmental organizations. China's parliament passed a controversial law governing foreign non-government organizations. I'm not even sure how you say that. The Xing, I don't speak Chinese. What is that? Xinhua or something?
Xuanhua.
Xinhua.
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 Okay, I'll say.
The X is the like X. a like a
Z?
Yeah.
Genoa?
Genoa?
Like a Z and a J at the same time.
Why didn't they just put a Z there?
I don't know.
Because that's their language.
Anyway, the Xinhua State News Agency said on Thursday, giving wide powers to the Domestic Security Authority and prompting criticism from Amnesty International, the law is part of a raft of legislation, including Chinese counterterrorism law and a draft of cybersecurity law, put forward a renewed crackdown on dissent by Xi...
Where is it?
Xi Jinping's administration.
Oh, Xiaoping.
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 Xi Xiaoping.
Yep.
Wow. The law, which is set to come into effect in January 1st of 2017, grants broad powers to police and to question NGO workers and monitors. See, does this sound like here? I mean, we got NGOs everywhere that are non-governmental agencies that seem to be...
The NGOs are running everything.
Trying to run everything, you know, the North State, the regionalism, all these...
You know, the Sierra Conservancy, the Coastal Commission, rock you'll hit four or five of them.
Yeah, I mean, so the authorities, particularly the police, will have virtually unchecked powers to target NGOs. Gee, that's got to be the right way to go, too. So they're going to go exactly the opposite of what we're doing in China. And so I don't know.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We have Pete from Reading on the line. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, you guys. Listen, you know, I love you guys, but when you get on the drug stuff, you piss me off a bit. You know, I don't mind. If you want to take heroin, you want to do whatever you like, I really don't give a rat's ass.
That's my point.
Until you take a dime of my tax dollars.
That's my point.
So the only way you can be free is have no welfare. And I'm probably the only one listening in the audience that actually grew up in a country with no welfare and there were no problems.
I agree with you, Pete.
Mate, but people were, you know, you were free. There were no guns. No one shot each other. There were plenty of broken noses, and we all drank beer. I mean, no one drinks more beer than Australians. And I'm not a certainly an alcoholic, and I don't smoke marijuana. But if you're going to smoke marijuana and cost me money, hey, get the hell out of my life. Take my dime out. Get rid of welfare to these people that are on drugs. Let their families take care of them. Let the churches take care of them. But as long as you can be as free as you like, but don't cost me a bloody dime.
Completely simpatico here, Pete. I totally agree with what you just said. Okay? I'm not advocating for this stuff. What I'm saying is that if we're going to have a free society, they got to be free to screw themselves up. I mean, that's the thing.
You can't have it both ways.
It's called personal responsibility. They shouldn't get any supplements. They shouldn't get any welfare. Okay. They shouldn't get anything from the government, period.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want...
I love your show. I love your show. I still want to know more about this. I don't believe government employees should be unionized. I want to know more about 51, you know, and the retirement plan. But that's for another time when we got a bit more time.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Pete.
And have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right.
And that's the difference between liberty and freedom. Liberty comes with responsibility.
Right.
You want the liberty to run your life the way that you want to run it.
Absolutely.
Then you take responsibility.
Then you take
for
total
what you
responsibility.
Do.
I'm not going to support you. You're not going to get any welfare checks. You're not going to get food stamps. You know, if you're going to go out there and sell that crap, then you need to take full responsibility and support yourself. And if you can't, or you're too stoned to get up in the morning do whatever you got to do, then guess what? Then you're going to have a real problem of feeding yourself.
You can't have it both ways.
Right.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah,
simple.
That's exactly right. No, Pete's right on. I mean, I totally
and
get
if,
it.
If you bring it into the open and you have control and regulation of it, you can control it better.
Absolutely. I'm not saying don't have any regulations. I'm saying, hey, you can't drive a car when you're stoned to the bone. You can't go sell it to school children. There's just like alcohol. You know, I mean, there is no difference.
And at the end of the day, there is no perfect solution.
No.
Because liberty is messy. And at the end of the day, everything involves people.
What I'm saying is if we took all the money and effort and manpower that we're spending trying to eradicate this thing and put it towards crime or something of that's really a threat to our liberties, like, I don't know, illegal immigrations
and rapists
and murders that are being released on a daily basis, I think we would be much better off across the board because and get the federal government out of it. Get the federal government out of it.
That's the key there. Yeah. We need the federal government out of everything pretty much anyway.
We just saw Tom walk in, so we're all queued up for him.
Oh.
And so
we're headed for the coffee pot.
She said it for the coffee pot. Got to have the caffeine.
Yeah. So let's get a couple of these. We got a couple minutes for the top of the hour. Then we got Tom coming on. I want to hit some of these things. We hit the China thing. We now know that why GMO foods are saturated. We now know, this comes from Natural News at naturalnews.com, that GMO foods, non-GMO foods, I'm sorry, are saturated with glyphosate weed killer. That would be Roundup, even bread and oats. This is Thursday, April 28th. So what they're reporting is that the recent news that a number of non-GMO foods were found to be saturated with glyphosate weed killer caught many people by surprise and left a lot of us wondering exactly how this could happen. So you can basically can't trust anything, but you got to better go organic because these guys are spraying the non-GMO foods with this stuff,
So what you're telling me is that humanity has existed on bread for thousands of years, and it's only recently since we started using weed killer that people have become gluten intolerant, but there's no connection between the weed killer and that.
No,
I know. So we got a major, here's part of the story, major oat supplier refuses to give up glyphosate. That would be General Mills.
Yeah.
You know, Cheerios. So I'm telling you guys, we got to be careful here. You got to watch what you're eating, because these guys are all screwed up. And I mean,
is that why I'm nauseous when I eat my Cheerios in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you wonder what's wrong with the kids. Just think what happens to the kids. And with that, we're at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We got Tom Pasenko with us. The next hour, this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came,
more Sovereign Minds next on KCNR. Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Anti-government protesters have temporarily ended their mass demonstration in Baghdad's Green Zone a day after tearing down walls around the government district and invading parliament. Followers of Shiite cleric Muqtadir al-Sadr that made the decision in order to allow Iraqi security forces to protect thousands of pilgrims expected to walk across Iraq to a shrine of an 18th century imam in Baghdad. Bombings, meanwhile, in a southern Iraqi city today have killed at least 31 people and wounded more than 50. Two car bombs went off minutes from each other. ISIS has claimed responsibility, says it aimed the attacks at police. Ted Cruz is certain there will be a contested GOP nominating convention in Cleveland this summer. He tells ABC TV's This Week program,
"Nobody's going to clinch it on the first ballot. Nobody is getting to 1237. I'm not, but Donald Trump isn't either. It's why Donald Trump is so desperate to say the race is over now to get his media acolytes to echo that."
Cruz admits he needs to win the Indiana primary on Tuesday, though, to keep frontrunner Trump from running away with it. Trump still has a mathematical possibility of getting to 1237. Canada's National Energy Board has granted conditional approval to a massive Enbridge project to replace an old pipeline.
The $7.5 billion Line 3 replacement project involves rebuilding a 1,031-mile pipeline that's almost a half century old and has had numerous ruptures over the years. The pipeline would enable 760,000 barrels a day to be shipped from Hardisty, Alberta to Superior, Wisconsin. The aging line is currently shipping about half of that. There are separate U.S. permitting processes the project must undergo before construction can begin.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A CSX freight train is derailed here in Washington, D.C. today, leaving several cars overturned and a hazardous leak, but no evacuations have been ordered. This is SRN News.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
North Korea is preparing to hold a once-in-a-generation Congress of its ruling party that is intended to rally the nation behind leader Kim Jong-un and could provide an important glimpse into Kim's plans for the country's economy and military. The Congress, which will begin later this week, is the first in 36 years and follows a 70-day loyalty drive in which everyone from coal miners to restaurant workers in North Korea were called upon to put in extra hours and increase productivity as a show of their devotion to Kim and the Workers' Party. The Congress comes as North Korea is facing international pressure over a recent nuclear test. Employees at a giant construction firm in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Bin Laden Group, have set fire to more than seven company buses to protest a reportedly large round of looming layoffs and not being paid salary for months. Firemen put the blazes out. Nobody was hurt. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Rules governing the recreational use of marijuana are taking shape in Alaska, and some pro-pot activists are chiming in with their ideas.
Ideas that could have Anchorage looking more like Amsterdam in the coming years. Specifically, they're talking about allowing what they describe as cannabis cafes, reasoning that that would be good for tourism. Alaska is one of four states that have legalized recreational use of pot, but none have allowed on-site consumption of the drug. Voters in Alaska said yes to legalizing marijuana back in 2014, legal for those 21 and older, with the expectation that it would be regulated like alcohol.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, May the 1st, and a birthday for some notable people, including singer Judy Collins. She is 77 years old today. Actor Charlie Schlatter turns 50. Movie director Wes Anderson has 47 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join me this Mother's Day at View 202 on the Veranda. Hi, this is Linda Bott. May 8th is Mother's Day, so bring your mom and the family for a special Mother's Day brunch overlooking the beautiful Sacramento River from 10 to 4. There will be special prices for seniors and children. Make a great Mother's Day memory this May 8th with jazz on the veranda with the Linda Bott Jazz Ensemble and a very special Mother's Day brunch menu. Call View 202 for reservations today at 226-8439.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors.
Russell Cleaning Services, both residential and commercial cleaning. Shasta Athletic Club, the place for fitness in Reading. Revolve Solar, save on those energy bills. And Authority Property Management, the pros in property management.
Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're into the third hour. We're scrambling around here, getting stuff done and doing what we do. We do have our guest in the studio.
We do.
It's our pleasure and privilege to have our sheriff here today, Mr. Tom Bosanko. And he's kind of getting...
good morning.
He's getting his headphones unwound. They're all tied up like a rubber band on a toy airplane. But anyway, good morning, Tom. How you doing today?
Great. Glad to be here.
Good. Very good. Yeah. We're really
glad to have you.
It's been a while.
It has.
So I guess we could just get started. I sent you a link here for Trump on the Second Amendment, but you probably need a few minutes to take a look at that. But I know you've got a bunch of stuff to cover here, you know, gun control, Sacramento out of control, feds out of control. I mean,
crime in general here in Redding. We'll talk about a little bit about the need for jail bed space.
Okay.
And then if we have time, we'll get into the blueprint, which has been in the news a lot as well. Strategy for blueprint, and that's been a partnership between the city and county. With police, fire, and sheriff's office custody issues.
Okay, good, because I'm not really familiar with that at all. I'm at the point where I'm not really reading much of the local news anymore because there's just no news in there. I mean, it's all...
I see.
Yeah, it's just to the point where they just delete and monitor and take out whatever, you know, in my mind is big stuff. You know, I mean, we're looking at stuff coming around the world, and they just don't seem like they hit any of this stuff, you know. So I'm very little into the local news anymore, and I just refuse to get the paper at this point. I do get it online, and I try to pick up the stories that I think are important. But I haven't seen anything on this blueprint.
That's been in the news quite a bit locally, but if you don't read the local news,
well, that's
it.
So I guess I'm in the dark on the whole thing.
That was the plan that was going to be brought about within the first days of the new city council, and then they decided it was going to take several months and tens of thousands of dollars to take a look at the problem and develop the blueprint, the plan of what to do. And
this isn't, I hate to say what's his name, but...
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver, thank you. this was his vision from the beginning. He said he had a plan.
It's what it's evolved into.
So now we've taken his plan, and then there's been input from several other agencies that are saying, okay, let's put together something here that's going to actually work for, you know, protecting
the community.
They
used outside sources, didn't they?
They did. They used a consultant name was Matrix.
Matrix.
And they studied the need for fire department, police department, and sheriff's office as it relates to custody division for jail issues there.
Matrix, that's kind of a little scary in itself.
Yeah. But it did turn into a much longer extended review than expected, but the product was worthwhile. And
then
we'll be presenting to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, May 3rd, and also to the Redding City Council as well that same day.
Oh, so that's like, you know, in the next day or two.
It's on next Tuesday, coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday.
Well, okay. What kind of input were you and Chief Paletti have on it?
We were on the executive team or implementation team, as they're referring to it as well. And so we had input as far as our own organizations did. We'd bounce things off between each other, give feedback to the consultant and his team, and push him on some things and challenge him on some things if they weren't getting things quite right.
Good.
So I mean, gosh, if you can't, I mean, I was just, it's funny, you know, I was listening to, I don't catch too much news anymore from the mainstream, but I got a little bit on O'Reilly the other night. I try to watch him just to see what's going on a little bit. But they have, down in San Francisco, the liberal policies have gotten so out of control that they have, since the first of the year, 4,000 break-ins into automobiles. Now, I just talked to a friend of mine who came up on Saturday who works in San Francisco. And she says that you can't park a car in San Francisco overnight and expect the windows not to be smashed out. So... I mean,
and they have some of the strictest laws down there in San Francisco. Imagine that.
We're not there here. We're not here, you know, there here yet. Hopefully never. But it's like, I mean, you can see that what's happening in the liberal policies. You know, where are we going here, Tom? I mean.
Well, you see it. You just mentioned San Francisco. A lot of crime there. You see it in Los Angeles. Those are metropolitan areas. But we also see it in our own backyard, right here in Redding. People are complaining and plagued with crime, whether it be stuff in their cars getting stolen, stuff in their own backyard or in their garage, or their cars being entered and burglarized as well. We see it here. Chico sees it. Sacramento. It's all over. And that's because some of the impacts of AB 109, prison realignment, of letting prisoners, inmates, out of state prison and pushing them back to the locals. And then we see it with Prop 47. Prop 47 was billed as the Safe Schools and Neighborhoods Act. It was a really nice name. It's failed because it reduced a number of felonies, primarily drug crimes and property crimes, to misdemeanors, a simple ticket. So if you had possession of methamphetamine, cocaine, that became a misdemeanor. And it kicked the legs out from drug courts as well that had been effective in rehabilitation.
My stance is that we should go after the crimes, you know, themselves.
Criminals, you mean?
The criminals,
yes.
Exactly. Instead of worrying about whether they're, you know, on meth or pot when they break in, it's the break-in that, you know, is
correct.
The problem. Yeah.
So now, a theft of less than $950 in a store is a misdemeanor.
Good.
And we have criminals here in Shasta County that go into a store with a shopping cart and a calculator, and they load up the cart to $949.
Seriously?
I am serious. That has happened here in Reading.
Unbelievable. Well, there you have it. And then you compound the economy that is tanking, despite reports to the contrary, on top of this.
Correct.
And it's a recipe for disaster. And
which you've also seen, too, part of Prop 47 reduced the theft of a firearm of $950 or less to a misdemeanor. It used to be, you sold a firearm, if that firearm was worth $25 or $2,500 or more,
that's insanity.
It was a felony.
That's insanity. I mean, so if I've got my Kimber on me that's $1,200 as opposed to my Glock that I paid $450 or $500 for.
The Glock, well, and then remember, too, your Kimber is used. So its value when you bought it was $1,200. I would bet to venture that value of that Kimber today is less than $950.
No, it's not.
It's very similar. They're similar to a car. When they leave the dealer,
they
depreciate
a bit,
but then it takes time to pick up for the appreciation of firearms.
So now we're into Kelly Blue Book of guns in order to decide whether you've committed a felony or not?
I would say the majority of firearms that most people own, absent being a collector or high-end
gun, are under
$950.
Well, I have a question, then. Is the condition of the gun evaluated on the condition it was stolen in or the condition it's recovered in?
Generally, when it was stolen. And that would be, and it's also up to the victim, the owner of the gun, to say what the gun is valued at. Now, obviously, if Mark said, hey, my Glock was stolen and it's valued at $3,000, unless it's a pretty tricked-out Glock, no, it's not. And so the insurance company pays for the value of it if you have it insured.
The other question I have is the crime that we're seeing is, what is the percentage of that crime that's repeat offenders? I mean, if we can figure out a way to take one individual or rehabilitate one individual, what percentage of the crime are they worth?
Worth is another thing, but
many of the
people that come into the jail are repeat offenders, especially for drug and alcohol offenses. Also for property offenses, and most of the property offenses are drug related, because when you have a habit of, say, $100 a day, which isn't uncommon,
right,
and you don't have a job, you can't get a job because you're an addict,
right,
and you're not employable, where are you going to get the money? You go out and steal it. And then that's where it comes in to there. So most burglaries and thefts are related to drug and alcohol, especially drugs.
That's where we're in simpatico. I mean, I have a libertarian viewpoint of the drugs, but I also have a very hardline point of view when you're committing crimes. I mean, they should be punished, and they should be punished severely.
But even our governor, and I know you don't agree with his viewpoint or his political stance, even our governor has said many times, there are enough laws, and he was referring to gun laws, on the books. We have to enforce the ones
we
have.
We're not enforcing them.
And if they do enforce them, the legislator is changing them to reducing them to misdemeanors. There's not enough room in our jails statewide to house everybody. And some of the people that are into rehabilitation, not everybody can be rehabilitated.
Sure.
There are some people that are going to be career criminals for all of their lives.
Right. No, I agree.
And you can make a difference on some.
I was going to say, and going to AB 109, isn't it their last offense? So if they were a felon, two- or three-time felon, but their last offense was for writing a check under $500, that's when they'll get kicked loose, correct?
And their background could be a lot of violent felonies. but maybe they went to prison on a burglary, a residential burglary. That is what they were released upon, even though they had a very violent past. And right. Now the governor is proposing, he has an initiative which he's gathering signatures. It's being reviewed by the Supreme Court to see if it's correct. He's still gathering signatures, and in the fall you could see an initiative on the books to release even more people from prison.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty good argument for Second Amendment rights
at
this point.
And he has admitted that the reason that he has this initiative is to reduce the prison population so that they can get out, the state government, can get out from underneath the three-judge panel that brought about AB 109.
I mean, these guys are criminals, in my opinion, quite frankly. They really are.
Remember, 109 released what they called low-level offenders.
Sure.
Not nonviolent,
right,
for that crime that they were incarcerated on. Non-serious, although you need a serious crime to get to prison. And non-serious sexual offenses. So now what's left in the prisons are your second strikers and those with violent offenders. So now they're going to release even more.
Well,
we know that 109 really isn't working. We know that Prop 47 has caused an increase in crime, and now the governor wants the voters to release more people.
We're getting it at the federal level, too. I mean, I just read a little while ago, Obama's ICE freeze 19,000 illegal immigrant criminals to the streets in 2015. You know, they're going to probably do more.
Remember also, he made a clemency to release a bunch of federal prisoners that were in for drugs and drug trafficking.
Right.
To get to federal prison for drugs, you're not your street-level dealer. These are high-end shot callers, major drug traffickers that were in prison, and then he released those. And I think out of the number that he released, I want to say it was in excess of 3,000, there was approximately 300 were going to be returned to California.
Here's what I got as far as the stats out of the Washington Examiner. 208 were convicted murderers. Over 900 were convicted sex crimes. 12,307 of drunk driving. The criminals had altogether 64,197 convictions among them, and representing a whopping 8,234 violent crimes.
And he released them.
And he released them
nationwide.
And so the inability to remove the repeat offender from the equation is showing a disproportionate increase in the crime rate, correct? I mean, if you could remove the repeat offender, it wouldn't be like a one-for-one trade in
That's
the crime
correct.
Rate.
It Usually like your burglars, you catch them for one or two burglaries, they've probably gone out and done 100 burglaries that we can't catch them for. Many people... when they have something stolen, they don't have the serial numbers written down. And it helps us if you take pictures of your valuables, have them stored someplace that isn't accessible to a criminal on a flash drive or something, and take the time to write down the serial numbers of your electronics. Firearms. Many firearms are stolen that we don't have the serial numbers to.
I think it's very simple to just go around, take your smartphone if you have one, and just start taking pictures, line them all up, back them up on a flash drive, and throw them in a safe.
Yeah, or save it on the cloud, because if you lose the flash drive or something else happens, or have a couple of flash drives, maybe give one to a relative that can store it for you. That helps us, because when we can put that serial number into a report, it's placed into a nationwide computer.
Hmm.
And if that gun or electronic equipment shows up in New York and it gets run, it comes back as being stolen from Redding, California.
Wow. That seems like that would be very helpful.
Yeah. The big thing, of course, we always pushing, take some preemptive measures. Lock your doors. Have an alarm system if you can. Some alarms you can get wireless hookups pretty inexpensively that can record to your smartphone and everything and help us.
That's what I have. I have them at the office and so forth. You can buy them. Now they got a bunch of different lines of them coming out. I got the Canary from Verizon, and it's just a little camera that has an alarm in it, and you can set it, and it not only takes pictures, and then it downloads them immediately.
Great.
Yeah, that way.
I think I'm going to come. I'll see if I can invent one rather than the Canary. Maybe call it the Stool Pigeon.
I like it. But we actually caught a burglar this way. You know, out at the office, we caught a burglar with it because we put it in there, and we went to the office that one morning, and it was like it was in total disarray. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody broke in. They went through the window, and we had her. It was actually a woman, and she was a tweaker, and had her on tape.
And the homeless issue, the drug issue is huge in Shasta County. We're limited on our resources for drug and alcohol rehabilitation. We're limited on our resources for jail space, and we're limited on the number of resources we have for police officers and deputy sheriffs on the street because we haven't been able to fill vacancies. We've had layoffs within the sheriff's office and reductions in our staffing all at the time when crime is going up. So it's kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, and I remember I talked to you about this 5 years ago because I said I could see it coming. It was the writing was on the wall. I mean, it was going to get ugly.
Right.
Yeah, and it has. I mean, because it's trends. It's all about, you know, you look at the economic trends and you look at the trends in the government, and it doesn't. It's not that hard to predict.
How big of a conversion are you seeing away from the methamphetamine to heroin?
Well, sometimes the users also mix the drugs. It's been referred to as speedballing. Mm. So they'll be under the influence of methamphetamine, which speeds up, obviously, everything. And then if they're under the influence of an opiate like heroin or oxy, then they become very pain intolerant. So then when law enforcement gets in fights with them, not only are they all amped up on methamphetamine, but they're intolerant to pain for pain compliance holds or anything like that, and that's where some of the officers get injured.
Get in trouble, yeah.
You know,
I wonder why you couldn't put a force like on, you know, the old movie, The Dirty Dozen. Why don't we put a bunch of these guys together and put them out on the battlefield or something? You know?
Well, that's what I've always said. But we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Jimmy in Reading. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I live in America and I got a job, so I'm doing pretty good.
Cool.
All right. Got a question?
I have a question for Basanko. And I don't know if he can answer this or I was wondering what the three major biker outlaw gangs are in Shasta County. And the other question is, what are the three or like the main outlaw gangs, like, you know, the Mexican cartels in Shasta County area? Because it seems to me all this heroin especially is coming from the Mexican cartel. And I just want a little bit of an outline on what's going on with that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks, Jimmy.
Great, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in today. The biker gangs are also referred to as outlaw motorcycle gangs or OMGs. It doesn't stand for Oh My God as in texting. But we have some Hells Angels here, some Mongols, and it's escaping me right now. I'll think of it.
Vagos,
yes. Thank you. And those are the three major ones we have here. There's also some other affiliate groups. And the reason they like Reading so much is it's a turf that they want to establish. It's a couple hours north of Sacramento. It's a couple hours south of Medford. It's right along the I-5 corridor. We have Highway 44 and 299 to connect the coast and also to Reno. So it's a trafficking area. And the outlaw motorcycle gangs are involved in trafficking of drugs, human trafficking, firearms, and other crimes. They also have affiliations with Mexican drug cartels to where the heroin can be smuggled into Mexico and then smuggled across the border here to the United States and then for distribution. And so they're working on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, that wall and this Trump stance on, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here on what you think about it, but I'll tell you what, if we don't stop this illegal immigration crap completely and bar this, we're not going to have a sovereign country.
The counties down south, such as Santa Barbara, Ventura, Los Angeles, San Diego, they see a lot of just not only coming across the border by land, but also by sea, and they have boats called Ponga boats. They're a fairly big V-hole type boat that usually runs anywhere from 2 to 3 very large outboard motors, and then they pack it in with dope, illegal aliens, and then run up the coast. Some of these Ponga boats also run out about 150 miles offshore, run out, contact a mothership with fuel so they're not detected near the coastal lines by the Coast Guard and others, and then come back in, beach the boat, unload the dope or people, and then they're in the United States. So we see a lot of those coming along.
How can anybody not be for controlled immigration? I don't even get it, because you don't get this side of the story from the newspapers and the media typically. I don't see it.
And so, Jimmy, we do see Norteños and Sereños here in Shasta County. Not a big faction of them, but they are here. And we have some other gangs as well. And remember, gangs are here for criminal activity. And then earlier, Mark, you sent me a link for Trump on the Second Amendment. I had a chance to review that. And all the points he makes are right on point. Right. These are the same points that have been put out by the NRA with the need to follow the Constitution, enforce right. the laws we have. He talks about Project Exile, which was a federal project in the 1990s in Richmond, Virginia, which went after criminals that were using guns and had possession of guns in the commission of their crimes. And they sent them away for many years to federal prison. And what did they find out? The crime in Richmond went down, while the crime in outlying other communities outside of Richmond went up because they weren't enforcing federal law there.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, I think we're totally on the same wavelength here. You know, it's they're not enforcing the laws on the books. I mean, to me, there's a concerted effort here to tear our country apart.
Mr. Trump talks about the broken mental health system.
Right.
The majority of these people that have committed crimes of the mass shootings have had mental health issues. If you go to the Fort Hood, the first Fort Hood shooter, Sandy Hook shooter, the Columbine shooters, all had mental health issues, but yet the federal government and sometimes our state governments are not addressing the mental health issues. He also covered the gun bans and magazine bans. They've referred to them as either high cap mags or large capacity mags. I refer them to as standard magazines.
Right.
Sometimes I'll refer to them as LCMs, large capacity magazines. Those do not work. They impact the law-abiding citizen. Here in California, we have some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, but yet we have high crime with guns. Right. Go after the criminals. Our governor has said that. Enforce the laws against the criminals and lock them up.
But he doesn't do it.
But we're releasing them.
Right.
He doesn't enforce the laws. The laws are there in the books, and so he's putting it out.
But he doesn't enforce them. That's exactly right.
But that goes to the district attorneys within the state.
And the attorney general.
It goes to the courts, and it goes to the attorney general. And then you see our legislators softening laws and softening punishments, such as Prop 47, such as AB 109.
Right.
He also talks about background checks. The NRA has been in favor of background checks. They've been in favor about mental health. But many of the states also don't have a linkage to their mental health database to tie it into the national instant check system, also referred to as NICS when you do a background checks for guns.
Right.
And so that has to be fixed. And a national right to carry where somebody could carry
in all
50 states. That has been huge. Now we see our lieutenant governor with the Safety for All initiative, which he claims to have enough signatures for to get on the November ballot, which is a huge miscarriage of justice, and it would be a huge impact to gun owners
California. I mean, what they say and what it ends up, it's like, you know, social insecurity. That's what it should be called instead of Social Security. It's the same with these acts. They say it's going to be the Safe for Everybody Act. It's not safe for anybody.
The Prop 47 was billed as going to put over $100 million back into the schools and to our communities to make them safer. We, the State Sheriff's Association, we opposed Prop 47. I opposed it. Many individual sheriffs opposed it. Now the LAO from the state is saying, we might see a savings of about $29 million, which is it's a big amount of money, but it's a drop in the bucket if you spread it statewide.
Wow.
So the Newsom initiative would end up banning all large capacity magazines, make them illegal.
What's large capacity?
Anything 11 rounds and greater. That is a box magazine, detachable magazine, would ban them. So if you right now, you can't purchase a large capacity magazine, but if you own one, it's legal. It's called a pre-ban. So this, if passed, would ban them, and you would either have to destroy them, turn them in, move them out of state, or the law-abiding citizen becomes a criminal. It would also ban ammunition sales. So it would say no internet sales, no sales through the mail. Or you could have it shipped to a dealer. Then you'd also have to have a license and a background check to be a law-abiding citizen to purchase that ammunition, and the dealer has to have the same thing to be able to sell the ammunition.
Well, what they're doing is they're creating laws that people are going to circumvent.
And huge amounts of bureaucracy. When you're thinking about all this licensing, you have to have some state entity to license them, and then you're going to see more government workers, more government cost to implement this. Another one is they want, I touched on the license to sell ammunition. They're going to require everybody get a background check that sells ammunition also. It'd be a requirement if you know your gun was lost or stolen, you have to report it. Right now you don't. It's a common sense thing to do. but you'd have 5 days to report it as lost or stolen. Wonder if you're out hunting, either in-state or out-of-state, no cell phone,
right.
You're not able to get back in, and you lost your gun in the woods. If you went on to the sixth day, you're now a criminal.
Unbelievable.
I'm curious, how can he even go after something like ammunition licensing or a background check?
Authority.
And, I mean, the court's already found the 10-day waiting period to be unconstitutional going on, I think, its second year now, and they still haven't moved on.
They still have not, and what he's referring to is there's obviously a 10-day wait if you purchase purchase a firearm from a dealer, which all purchases have to go through a dealer to be legal. And they said, basically, if you have a concealed weapons license or you recently purchased a firearm within a period of time, that you don't have to go through the 10-day wait again. And the state DOJ, through our attorney general, was supposed to develop a process to get this implemented. And it's been a year or two, and that still has not been implemented. But she's also an anti-gunner who's running for congressional senator.
Well, that's part of the problem, is that this has become becoming an ideological thing. These guys aren't enforcing the law at all, you know.
No.
And so at what point in time do you say there's no rule of law? You know, it's just like if Hillary doesn't get convicted, or if not convicted, at least charged with. So, I mean, at what point in time do you say, hey, there is no rule of law anymore, it's survival of the fittest?
And you know as well as many other people, you're not going to see her even indicted.
I don't know.
Not under this administration, I don't think so.
I don't know. We just played a clip in the earlier segment or in the earlier hours about with Napolitano and the FBI. You know, if they don't, then you know I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But
so right now, too, on the Newsom Gun Initiative, it has no exemptions even for peace officers.
What?
Nope. No exemptions for law enforcement officers. No exemptions for law enforcement agencies. So technically, a law enforcement agent that has LCMs would have to go back to 10 rounds because there's nothing in there. And if you're an honorably retired peace officer, you can carry concealed. That's a part of the state law. You can have these guns and you can have the magazines. But under Newsom's initiative, that would not hold
true. Would that include every agency of the government, including the federal government?
No, because state law doesn't impact federal.
Oh.
Also, you've seen the Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorneys Association come out and oppose this Newsom initiative. The California State Sheriff's Association, representing all 58 county sheriffs, is opposed to the Newsom initiative. Mm-hmm. I was able to, I'm very active in pro-gun support, so I think 40 or 41, I can't remember if it's 40 or 41, individual sheriffs are on record as opposing. That's over 80% of our state sheriffs, our individual sheriffs, are opposing the Newsom initiative.
So that would come down to you actually enforcing law in the county as well. I mean, we got the one guy up there in, El Dorado County that threw the...
Sheriff DeAugustini.
Sheriff DeAugustini, good friend of mine, know him well.
Okay,
that's within
good.
My authority, too. He had granted peace officer powers for U.S. Forest Service law enforcement officers. We refer to them as LEOs. LEOs to enforce state law, either on or off of federal property, and that's allowable. They were having some problems there, not working with him, and he said, this is not going to happen, and I'm going to revoke that state law enforcement authority. All the sheriffs have that same authority to do that, and I have done it here as well for a former, he was working at the time, but now it's a former BLM officer, Leo.
So you would use that power under the necessary circumstances?
Well, absolutely. If it's proper and they're abusing their powers, harassing our citizens, not doing things properly what they're supposed to do, I can revoke that anytime.
Would you consider revoking the IRS's powers for enforcement?
It's basically they can enforce, again, federal law.
Right.
Federal Leos cannot enforce state law.
I see.
They don't have the authority for it unless granted by a sheriff, not a chief of police, by a sheriff.
But you could still, I mean, in theory, tell them to stop enforcing illegal federal law, for example. I mean, if they're coming in and enforcing, and we've seen this with the IRS, for example, time and time again. Even now, you know, they've got, I just posted this thing on my web, on Facebook, I don't know if you've seen it or not, where the Costigan, from the commissioner from the IRS, saying is that it's not his job to enforce illegal aliens using W-2 and stolen Social Security numbers, and they're going to keep paying out the refunds to these guys.
Wow. under, let's see, where I was going to go with federal law. Oh, a few years ago, the United States Marshals Service, they're usually after fugitives and then also work on civil law, like seizure of property and or orders to seize property. So they came here to Shasta County and said, hey, we have an order to evict these people off the property. They're not the proper landowners. The land was sold under legal authority by the federal government. Somebody else bought it, and these people were refusing to leave. They wanted us to go boot them off. I said, well, number one, why aren't you guys doing it if you have the authority to do it? And number two, I said, this federal court order is like 5 years old. Why hasn't it been served with due diligence prior to now?
Right.
And I don't know if there's been some other court proceedings since that time.
Yeah.
So bring me something that's more recent from the federal court, and then we'll look at it then. But we'll go and assist you. It's your responsibility, not mine.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
I was going to say, built in that bill, it sounds like not only policing the citizens of California, it's also going to be policing the police
basically of
the state.
And then also you've seen several communities in California, Sunnyvale, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, that have banned LCMs as well, large capacity magazines, as city ordinances. And right now, the California Rifle Pistol Association challenged two of those under the Second Amendment, and they were defeated. The Rifle Pistol Association was defeated in that. They joined in amicus briefs, and I joined in those as well. And then the city of Los Angeles enacted one, and it's going through court right now, and myself and 28 other sheriffs are listed as plaintiffs, as well as individuals, challenge the constitutionality of this LCM ban in the city of Los Angeles that would make law-abiding citizens criminals, and that's going through the court process now. And so they ordered basically everybody to turn in their LCMs. How many got turned in?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
You think the gang members and criminals were lining up to turn in their LCMs?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure there's a line around the block.
And so that's going through court as well. And anybody that's interested in these pieces of legislation should go to the California Rifle Pistol Association, CRPA.org.
Right.
Or to Gun Owners of California. Sam Prietis is the executive director, and it's gunownersca.org. And they can see the pieces of legislation. You can also go to NRA-ILA.org and pick up on things both within the 50 states and occurring within the federal government.
So speaking of 50 states, are you for 51 states?
51 states. There's a lot of issues that have to, and if you don't know what he's referring to, but I know all the listeners do, about the state of Jefferson. And a lot of people have misinformation on that, such as it's not succession, it's creating a new state.
It's a constitutional process. Yeah.
And there need to be a lot of things. How do you work out infrastructure in the new government? Where do the prisons get located? Schools, highway patrol,
sure,
who would become the highway patrol?
It's not going to be easy. But
yes, yeah. And so I think there needs to be a lot more fleshed out from it before it happens. And then it has a lot of obstacles, uphill climb, because it has to be approved by the current state government. And then if approved, then it has to be approved by the federal government as well.
Right. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob. You have a question for Tom?
Yes, I do. A quick question. And again, Tom, thank you for being the constitutional sheriff for Shasta County. And everybody that I know and everybody around here really appreciates your hard stance on all this stuff. And so I want to applaud you. But I've got a question. About a year and a half ago, I'm coming in my mile dirt road under a locked gate, and the gate I left open. But I'm driving up my dirt road to my residence, and I have a CDF, fully bulletproof vest, cop, and he rolls me up. He pulls me over on my own dirt road. And he checks my license, he does this, and I says, hey, buddy, where's the fire? And he goes, oh, there's no fire, I'm just here. And he had his Glock on, he was armed like one of your patrolmen.
Cal Fire does have a number of LEOs throughout the state, law enforcement officers, and they have full peace officer powers, just like my deputies, California Highway Patrol, and other law enforcement agencies. On a private roadway, and I don't know if your roadway is private and or if it's a public roadway. But private roadway...
No, completely private.
Yeah.
I mean, behind a locked gate.
Technically, you don't even...
This guy was trespassing on my property and rolled me up, checked my license, and would have hauled me in if I'd had any warrant on me. But
did he say why he pulled you over?
No, he's just snooping around.
Because basically, pull somebody over, we all need what is called probable cause or a reasonable suspicion that a person is committing some type of violation.
This guy had no reason. He was on my 3/4 of a mile up my private dirt road. He was completely off base, and I don't like this infringement by government. And I'll tell you that right now, and if it keeps it up, we're going to lose a few officers, okay? I'll let you go.
Well, we don't want to get violent against officers. We have plenty of that here in the nation right now. And very sadly, we lost 128 officers in 2015. We're dead air, I think.
Billy sounded a little angry there.
Last year, we lost 128 officers that were killed in the line of duty nationwide, and there's been quite a number already killed in 2016. And so we don't want to see violence against the officers, and we're coming up on Peace Officers Memorial Week. There was a Peace Officers Memorial down in Sacramento, and there'll be one tomorrow. And then we'll be having one here next week in Shasta County honoring those officers that have died in the line of duty here in Shasta County, both for sheriffs, marshals, fish and game, fish and wildlife now, and California Highway Patrol and Redding Police Department.
And I don't think anybody would ever, promote violence against peace officers. And you see a lot of that kind of propaganda being put out there where you see almost like someone's intentionally trying to drive a wedge between law enforcement and the citizenry.
Definitely. There are some prominent private citizens that are doing that, and there are some governmental officials that are doing that as well. And what you also see with back to Cal Fire, they also come and do home inspections, especially in the rural areas of the county, to make sure you have at least 100-foot clearance defensible space. But then they come on to your private property and basically walk around that area right around you.
Do they have the power to do that? Just enter.
Well, that's what I was just
property.
Getting to. They can come onto private property under lawful authority if they have some stuff to do. But that immediate area around your house, and generally it's where you might have your fence for your yard. Depends on how your property's laid out. But that's is referred to as curtilage. And curtilage is where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy under the Fourth Amendment. So if they're walking around on your property within that curtilage area, I would think that could be a Fourth Amendment violation. And they usually give warnings to say, hey, get your weeds trimmed up and stuffed for a defensible space, and it's for safety and for fire prevention, all good, but you also can't have violations
of the
Fourth
Amendment. They granted the ability to enter private property before they were granted law enforcement powers.
I don't know the answer to that one.
It would seem to me that there's an easy solution to this. It would be the government agency working with the landowner in a cooperative effort. I mean, it doesn't seem like this is that big of a problem.
Right, and you can see that it is a huge concern for that defensible space as we are approaching fire season.
Sure, no, I get
it. The north winds blowing.
There is some personal responsibility there. There's no question. Let's go to a break real quick.
Okay, I have a question when we come back about fish and game and CDF having police powers, so to speak.
And I'd like to talk a little bit about confiscation.
Civil asset forfeiture. We'll cover that. We're coming into the last quarter of the hour, so we got a lot to cover, and I'd like to touch a little bit about jail issues as well.
Cool. All right. With that, we'll go to a break. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Poncho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Poncho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying word. Oh, that's the way.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Come on out May 14th and 15th for Haven Humane's Dogathon Festival. From 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th, start your weekend with free family and pet-friendly activities, canine demonstrations, splash dogs, fly ball, vendors, food, and our very own West Munster Family Dog Show. At 5 p.m., enjoy dinner and dancing at the Boots, Scoot, and Doggies Barbecue and Concert featuring Chad Bushnell, all at Haven Humane Society just off 273. On Sunday, put on your tennies, leash up your dog, and come out to Turtle Bay for Haven Humane's 5K and 10K run walk. For barbecue tickets and race registration, go to havenhumane.org.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge and Wind River Resort and Casino Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. We'll have a night of jazz and fun with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimonis on drums, and special guest Lou White from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, Romance on the River, Cinco de Mayo style, May 5th. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country should.
There we go. I think Bo Stevens says it all. Hey, we had a pretty good discussion on the break about civil asset forfeiture. Maybe we could kind of, you know, just play that record back a little bit here, because we were, you brought us some things I wasn't familiar with about, you know, the due process and probable cause and, you know, not having the ability just to go in and charge something and tie it up in court and keep the money, you know.
Right.
So
what we were talking about on the break is civil asset seizure, and there's a number of ways that it's done. So if a person doesn't pay their car payment, the creditor, the loan company, can come after you, get the car repossessed, and then it can be sold for what's owed on the car, and then that's a whole civil process. If you oppose repossession, then it has to go and get a court order to seize the car.
So there's due process.
Right. And normally what you were referring to, Mark, was a civil asset seizure. Normally law enforcement agencies come across assets, normally in a lot of times in the form of cash.
Right.
It can be cars, it can be motorcycles, boats.
And most of this in the drug arena.
It is in the drug arena. Almost all of it's in the drug arena. So let's say a law enforcement agent does a traffic stop on a car on the freeway. They have a drug dog, the dog alerts, and miraculously there is $100,000 in cash found in a secret compartment of the car. But no drugs, but the dog alerts on it. It's actually a crime to have transport more than $10,000 cash.
That's a crime?
That's a crime of that. Mm-hmm. And so
I didn't know that.
And then we usually ask the people, or law enforcement asks the people, hey, did you know this money was there? I didn't know that money was there. I didn't know there was a hidden compartment. And they disavow any knowledge of that. Well, everybody's worked on a lot of cars and owned cars, and usually nobody's found $100,000 in their cars.
I haven't found anything like that lately.
And so they can say, so is this your money? It's not my money. Here, sign a form that is basically not contesting our seizure of the money, and they're saying they don't know nothing about it. It still has to be reviewed by a judge to say, hey, you legally seized this, and they're not contesting taking of the money, and then that goes in, and that usually takes about a year for this to be resolved and reviewed by a court.
My fear is that the Fourth Amendment violations could be overridden through a GI come in, I charge your house, for example, with harboring people who have suspicion of doing illegal drugs, and I lock your house up, I take it, and then, hey, you know, go through the court system if you want to try to get
sometimes it back. On the real property, like a house, they may end up going through the seizure part of it, but they don't boot the people out while this is happening. And then they also have to see how much is owed on the house. If it's paid for, okay, how did it get paid for? Did it get paid for by illicit drug funds, usually by drugs? Did it get paid for by illicit illegal funds, or a little bit of both? And so that has to be reviewed by the courts when that happens. We see seizures of boats and cars as well. And we also have to abide by the law. And so if they look at Fourth Amendment violations, that could also throw a whole bailiwick into the process. We've been challenged by people for drug trafficking and traffic of money, and we have seized hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, and ours have been upheld. And on occasion, the judges may not agree with law enforcement. They say, you know, you can't prove where the money is coming from due to illegal activity, and you need to give the money back.
Yeah, because I would be concerned about the legitimate law-abiding citizen that, gee, if I'm carrying around $12,000 all of a sudden, I could be going to buy a car, you know.
And we do run across those things.
I've been saving my little $20 a week or whatever for 10 years.
We do run across that. Or you say, hey, you know, I've been saving for years. Or I don't believe in banks, and so I deal in cash. And people do that as well.
Right.
But usually people are able to substantiate and prove that.
Yeah, but just the fact that having more than $10,000 cash in your pocket is a crime seems like
something's
wrong.
But also, you know, we can get into looking into your background. Okay, I'm going to make some assumptions. You've probably never been arrested. You don't have any drug-related crimes in your background. Basically, squeaky clean.
You're not talking about me now.
So, and we look into the background of people. But other people look into their background. They've been arrested a number of times for possession of drugs, drug trafficking, drug sales, a lot of drug activity.
Right.
And now they have $100,000 cash.
But there's discretion there, that, and that scares me.
There is, and then also you work. You have a private business. And so these people don't work.
You can't contest it.
Oh, we're down to 1 minute. We better hurry up. Good grief.
You know, it's essentially by signing that document, I don't contest. They're surrendering. They're voluntarily surrendering their Fourth Amendment right.
Not the four. Well, you said, yeah, because there is a seizure, but they can also not sign it and say, no, we're going to go to court on this.
Okay.
But remember,
so there's some recourse there.
And here in Shasta County, I'm doing everything we can to get more jail beds here in the county. We need it to lock criminals up.
Right.
And we're working on that. We're going to be making some presentations to the board supervisors real soon. I do appreciate you having me on.
Well, maybe
show.
We can get you to come back and we have more time. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That'd be great. So we're down to a minute. I don't even less, than,
less
30
than a
seconds,
minute.
So the music's probably going to come on here. And we want to thank our guest Tom from Basenko, Sheriff Basenko, for coming on here. And that was a very interesting subject. I'd like to talk a little bit more about it and some other things. So, got to say it. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty above security.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio. For the North State.
I am just a simple man working with my
news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Donald Trump says Republicans have fallen out of love with his main GOP rival, Ted Cruz.
The guy can't get along with anybody. The man he respected most in the United States Senate is Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. And he talked about Senator Sessions, Senator Sessions. Senator Sessions a month ago endorsed me.
Trump spoke at a rally today in Terre Haute, Indiana, ahead of that state's primary Tuesday. Trump is hoping for a big win in Indiana to cement his hold on the Republican presidential nomination. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz is also making a major push in that state.
We are competing hard. I hope we do well here. I can tell you I'm barnstorming the state. We're in a bus with my family. We're doing everything we can to earn the votes of the men and women in this state. We are going the distance.
Senator Cruz, a guest today on ABC's This Week, a loss in Indiana could be a serious blow to his effort to gain on Trump in the